Production. Recorded live.
In an effort to promote free speech, the
Nimnuts Radio Show
does not censor its broadcasts. Statements, views, and opinions contained in our programs are those of the individual hosts and participants and are not necessarily those of the
Nimnuts Radio Show,
its owner, or other broadcasters. Free speech. It's more than just words.
And I'm always like, yes!
Thank you.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
Ah, yes, it is time once again for that show. Once again, this is the News Guy Show, and this is the News Guy. Hello, everybody out there in Radio Land, and all three listeners. Yes, this is the News Guy Show, and this is the News Guy, as I just said. And listen, we're going to be on until at least 9 o'clock tonight. Here via TalkStream Live or the TalkShoe Radio Network. And so there's a lot of stuff that was going on this week, and there actually has been a lot of stuff going on this week, but I really don't know where to start with it all, because there's a lot of good and interesting things to talk about. Let's see here. Yeah. Okay. I should start off with something a little more colloquial or something like that. Colloquial. I don't know. But local, or I guess personal or something like that. But because, you know, well, it's like, it's not that personal, but it was just like, okay, this week, walking around at night. Well, not walking around at night. Like, you know, it's not like I'm stalking the streets of Reykjavik at night by myself or anything like that. But I was walking in the night, and I noticed in the sky that, well, it's getting lighter as the day is going by. It's getting really lighter here now. The sun starts to come up around 6 now. So there is visible light around 6 in the morning now. So it's really getting very good in terms of daylight, but it's still snowing a little bit, so we had like a surprise snowstorm, not too much, you know, just like a very light dusting, but still it's enough to be annoying. But the nights have been pretty clear this week, and I couldn't help but notice up in the sky that there was this very strange alignment of two planets. And I always notice, like here in Reykjavik, it's always really great to see the sky at night in the winter. That's one of the, you know, in the springtime and in the winter when it's dark, because you can see the constellations, you can see different planets. And I've really taken an appreciation for that here, because in New York, you know, you really can't see much of anything. All you can really see, I think, is like the Big Dipper or the Little Dipper. I forget which one you can really see in New York, and like the Belt of Orion. And that's it. Nothing else. But here in Reykjavik, in the nighttime, on a cold winter's night, when there's no clouds up in the sky, you can see the whole of Orion, not just the belt. You can see the whole guy up there running around, and you can see Leo, and you can see this one and that one, and it's really, really cool. And I've noticed, I actually have seen, there was one time a couple of years ago, I was out there walking to a bakery on a Saturday morning, getting some nice little hot buns for my little hot bun. And I noticed that there was a I saw a satellite up in the sky. Yes, that was really, really cool. I was like, I was just really just, you know, walking and just in the complete amazement of what I was looking at up in the sky. And then all of a sudden I noticed that something was moving fast like a plane, but it looked like a star, but it wasn't twinkling, you know. And that's how you can really tell, like, the difference between a star and a planet, is because the planet, the planets do not twinkle. And only the stars twinkle. I think there's like something about the atmosphere and something about with like light refraction and all of that. That's the reason for that. But it's a little too complicated and technical for me to get into with this story. But then this planet, it was small like a star, and it was not twinkling, and it was moving fast across the sky like an airplane, at the speed of an airplane. And, you know, of course, you can tell what an airplane looks like because of the light formations. And even in the blackness of the night, even if you can't see the outline of the plane, you can still see the light formations of on the wings and the body, so you can know that it's an airplane. So, but this was up in the sky, like I said, really far out up there, but it was like a star, but not twinkling and moving fast like an airplane. So at first I thought I was looking at a UFO, but it wasn't a UFO. And also, there's a, I think it's like the paranoid, not paranoid, but it's like Peronius, or I don't know. It's some sort of a light shower. It's like this, this comet belt towards the end of, at the end of the summer that the Earth goes through every year. And every time that this happens, you can really see a lot of shooting stars in the sky here in Reykjavik. So it's really, really, really cool. But anyway, this week when I was looking at this, I saw this up in the sky. I saw these two planets, and like I was telling you, how the difference between the two planets are. But I thought, because of the brightness and the size of these two planets, I thought that one was Venus and one was Mars, because those are the two planets that are closest to the Earth. And I was looking at it, and it's like one is very big, and the other one, it looked like it was kind of like, well, you know, you can see it, of course, during one night, but over the course of the week, it looked like the other one, which was smaller and a little bit, not as bright, but, you know, just a little bit, you know, it was still prominent, just as prominent in the sky, but just not as bright. The smaller one was somehow like revolving around the larger one. So I thought, okay, the larger one had to be Mars and the smaller one had to be Venus because of the closeness of the planets and all of that kind of stuff. So it turned out, when I was looking it up on the internet, it turned out that I was wrong about, I was right about the alignment of these stars, of these planets rather, but it was not Venus and Mars. Rather, it was Venus and Jupiter. And the larger one was Venus and the smaller one was Jupiter. So I don't know. It's kind of weird because, you know, the reason why I bring this up is because, well, it was pretty cool, you know, to see this. And also, you know, it's like, it's going to sound really strange, but like back in the build-up to the war in Iraq, and this is going to sound really, really strange. You're going to think I'm really nuts, but if you haven't thought I'm nuts before, then, you know, okay. But during the build-up to the Iraq war, there was this really, really huge red ball in the sky at night. And that was Mars. And Mars was so close to Earth at that point that it looked like a giant red ball in the sky. And you could get a telescope and actually very easily see a lot of details about Mars just with a regular telescope. So I don't know. It, you know, of course, Mars, and I'm not into the astrology, and I don't pay any attention to astrology or anything like that. But, you know, I know that Mars represents war. You know, I mean, everybody knows that, you know, Mars was the god of war. So I don't know. It was like so close during that period. And then this happened, the war in Iraq started. So I don't know. Maybe there's something to it, you know. I mean, not that the planets predict these things, but rather the people that control these events in our lives, the world powers and everything like that, believe in the alignment of the planets, and they follow all of that stuff. And they use, and they believe that those things generate energy and blah, blah, blah. And that's what they give us. That's why they do these things at certain points of the year or certain times in our lives, because of their belief in astrology and planet alignments and all of that type of stuff. So the weird thing is, though, that I was trying to figure out, if that's true, then what would this alignment of the planets represent? So I don't know. I was trying to look it up, and I really couldn't find – I wasn't really looking too heavily into it, of course, I have to admit. But it seemed to be that this alignment or conjunction represents some sort of harmony. Harmony of – I don't know what, but at least it just represents something like that. So then I was thinking about what's going on this week, and of course – David Cameron and Barack Obama have been hanging out together this week, and it's been a very harmonious event, right? The two of them have been getting together, going to ball games, joking around. Cameron's joking about burning down the White House. Obama's making jokes about Rutherford B. Hayes, you know, all of this kind of stuff. You know, it's kind of strange. I mean, that was like the significant event this week in world politics in terms of the United States and all of these political powers. So maybe there's something to it. But, you know, of course, you're going to think that I'm a nut because I'm saying these things. But, you know, like I said, I don't attribute any power or strength into these things. But rather, my theory is that the people who are in control of the world governments do believe do it, either they do attribute power to those things in terms of like because certain things happen in the stars that certain strengths are enhanced, certain emotions or certain things are better to be done because of events in the sky, and that's why they're done. So I don't know. Maybe that's just me. I mean, maybe that's just a theory. I'm just putting it out there. I'm not saying I believe it. I'm just saying that, you know, this is something to look at. But then it was very strange because I was driving around this morning. And let's see here. Where is it? I was listening to the BBC this morning. And they have a show called Science Today or something, Science in Action. Yeah, that's what it is. And they, among the different topics they talked about this morning was this Venus-Jupiter conjunction. And it was a pretty interesting, you know, 5-6 minutes that they talked about it. But they did speak with some – and it was all about the scientific aspects to this. It wasn't about anything, you know, astrological, you know. Because there's astronomical and then there's astrological, but they were talking about the astronomical aspects to it. And, you know, just like the fact that this is in the sky and, you know, to explain what this is and, you know, what's going on up there and all that kind of thing. But now this was something that one of the guys, the expert that they had on said, and I thought this was something to note, and I think that I'll just play this and let it speak for itself.
Later on this year, around the 6th of June, Venus will go in for a transit. It'll move directly between the Earth and the Sun. Now, this is an exceptionally rare event. There will only be two this century. The last one was in 2004, and the next one isn't until well into the 22nd century. It's best viewed from the Pacific and Australasia and the western half of North America. The rest of the world gets a rather less good view.
So there you have it. There's going to be some sort of a weird thing with Venus going between the Sun and the Earth in June. And I don't know what that means, you know, but, you know, if this is, if my theory turns out to be something significant or correct, then this will be something to look out for, that maybe something significant in June will be happening. But Venus is a planet associated with peace and love. So it's, maybe it's going to be something good. I don't know. And if it's visible from like the Pacific and all of that, you know, like Australasia, so maybe the event will take place somewhere in that area. But I don't know. And I claim no powers of the prophet, okay? I'm not trying to say anything like that, you know, and I'm not trying to sound like a lunatic or anything like this, but, you know, that, maybe that's where it comes from, lunatic, right? Because you're looking at the moon, Luna, lunatic, you know, Luna. So anyway, maybe that's where it all comes from. Because, of course, I'm going to listen back to this, and I'm going to think, holy smokes, what a stammering, stuttering moron I sound like. But other than the stammering and the stuttering I have had just in trying to explain all of this, you gotta give it a little merit or a little credence, and we'll just have to see what happens with it. Just have to see what happens with it. Oh boy. Let me see here. All right, I'm just looking. Lou Rawls wasn't bad. Oh, boy. Okay. I'm just looking at the record. I'm just looking at the chat room here to see what people are saying here. Pete Dempsey says, I've seen the International Space Station twice. That's pretty cool. Okay. And then let's see here. Guest 7 says, if you want to know about the position of stars, download Stellarium for free. Yes, Percy. I think it's the Perseus meteor shower, the one that I was talking about with Percy. Pleiades. I think it's Pleiades meteor shower. That's what Guest 4 is saying. So, yeah. And then guest number 7 says, News guy, do yourself a favor and download Stellarium. And it's a program that lets you tells you the position for every day where you live. And it's a good program. Okay, I will do that, guest number 7. Thank you. And guest number 7 is asking about, what about this Coney 2012 bullshit? Well, you know, that's true. You know, the Coney 2012. Now, Coney 2012, as I described it last week, you know, my theory about it is that it is just CIA propaganda that is to give some sort of a public arouse a public awareness and public sympathy for American intervention in Central Africa. Because if you remember at the beginning of the year, Obama gave some sort of a notice to Congress without any consent or, you know, because normally when you have to declare a war, that's when you have to get approval from Congress. But Obama, and, you know, not just Obama, Bush, Bill Clinton, you know, it goes on and on. And these guys, they don't declare wars. They just go and do these things, you know. So he just sent a notice to Congress saying that, hey, I sent 100 troops down into South Africa, not South Africa. I wish he had sent 100 troops down into South Africa to get rid of Jacob Zuma and little Mugabe over there in the communist-occupied Rhodesia. But he didn't do that. He sent 100 troops down into the Congo, or Uganda, rather, to go after the Lord's Resistance Army. And this guy, Joseph Kony, as it turns out, he actually is kind of a has-been now. All the things that he's done, yeah, they are horrible, but he hasn't been in the country for like 5 years. Only rumors about him being in the country have popped up from time to time, and that's it. So what he did was do, you know, he sent these 100 troops in there, and then all of a sudden this Kony video pops up. Also this week, there was in the International Criminal Court, there was this conviction of this African dictator. It's the first time that an African leader has ever been sentenced to and convicted of crimes against humanity. Basically, you know, I don't remember the exact charge, but this was also in that region. You know, this was something that was going on in that region, and I think it was stemming from, I'm just speaking off the top of my head about this one. It was something with the Hotel Rwanda. Remember that movie, the Hotel Rwanda? You know, with the Tutsis and the, yeah, and the, whatever these guys are. Anyway, yeah, remember the, like the River of Blood and all of that, and they hyped up everything on the radio. You know, you can imagine like there was some Franklin Queens, some African version of Franklin Queens got on the radio and started talking about one tribe as roaches and. And so then, of course, you know, they got out their machetes and chopped up the other tribe. And kind of ironically, that whole thing happened on the same year that South Africa lost became communist occupied, you know. But that's that. But that happened this week also. But then. Just the other day, the guy who created the Kony 2012 video, he was arrested or he was, you know, sent to the hospital because he was found on the streets of Los Angeles running around in his underwear, butt naked. First he was running around in his underwear, then he was butt naked, running around the streets, screaming at cars, hitting cars, and masturbating. So this is very strange that this guy would do this. Now, you know, Alex Jones, to his credit, he had some of this partially correct. I mean, I don't really think that the guy's – I don't know. I got a lot of theories about the guy. But whenever I hear somebody quoting Alex Jones, I just shake my head. But I don't even really think I should be quoting him. But he was talking about this, and he was saying that, well, the guy was just mentally disturbed to begin with, so what do you expect? But I think that there has been such a, because there really has been some sort of a counter campaign against him for putting out this video and getting such a success with it. And, you know, there are significant criticisms to the video. And, of course, yes, like I said, you know, this Joseph Kony, he really hasn't been a significant thing in Uganda for some time now, and there are other things that other criticisms that have come out about it. But given the true intention about, or at least like not the true intention, but the theoretical intention behind what this video is promoting, probably, you know, it may be what we saw with this guy running around the streets of Los Angeles masturbating and hitting cars. It may have been that somebody from some competing agency or competing entity slipped them a Mickey. You know, this is like basic Cold War stuff. This happens all the time. When you want to take out an agent, an enemy agent, you just put some put something in his drink or some other way that you get him to be knocked up, not knocked up, but you know somehow messed up in his head, and then the rest just plays for itself, you know, and then you take him out that way. So, you know, it's very possible that that's what we just saw, you know. Somebody, you know, maybe put some PCP in his soda pop or something. I don't know. And then the guy's drinking it. He's having a Coke and a smile. The next thing you know, he's ripping off his clothes and masturbating on the streets of Los Angeles, you know. I don't know. You know, this could happen. I'm just having some nice, what is this, mango and apple juice. So anyway. So, you know, it could be something like that. That's what I kind of think it could be, could have been. So, let's see. Am I emptying the room? Let me see here. Let's see here. Okay, guest seven says, someone on Nimbusters is bitching about Tom Metzger charging his archives now. I'll get to that later. Whitney Houston sings a national anthem at the Super Bowl. I don't know why. Martin Lindstedt running from... Oh, we will get to that. Don't worry about that. Okay. Guest 10 must be... why? Guest 10 is like in love with Whitney Houston. Because he's posting videos of Whitney Houston in the chat room. So, let's see here. Yeah, probably a CIA tool. Why this obsession with the Coney film? Well, that's the whole thing. I mean, it's just, you know, social media, that it's an illusion and a lie that social media is... independently maneuvered, or it's a bit of a lie and illusion that it's independent. Let's just put it that way. It's much easier to manipulate than you'd like to believe, and a lot of these news programs or these news events that get publicized through social media are done. Well, they're done with a lot of different social networks, but I don't want to get into it. I don't want to get into it. Anyway, I don't want to get into it. Let's see here. Maybe I should write this out before I actually start talking about it, so I won't sound like a stammering fool. Let's see here. Let's see here. Guest number 7 says, I was struck by all the Marxist imagery of the Coney film. And, you know, the thing is, though, I have to say that I have not still seen the entire Coney film because, like I said last week, I just couldn't get through the first 10 minutes of it. It was just like, I don't know, it was like the first 5 or 10 minutes I'm looking at this thing, and it's all about some guy, you know, some aging hipster guy from San Francisco, and he sounds like he's gay, but then all of a sudden he's got a kid. You know, it's all about his kid, you know, and then all of a sudden he's got the African on the wall of his refrigerator and all of this, and I'm like, what is this? Save the effing children? You know, what is this? I don't want to watch this. And I look at the time frame of how long this video is. It's 30 minutes, and I'm like, what is this? I'm not doing this, so I turned it off. And then all of the news came out about Coney. So then I was reading all the articles, and they were explaining about it. So I thought Coney was the name of a stupid charity. But and it did turn out to be some video about asking for money. So that's the whole thing. You know, I didn't really want to I was right about it, but you know, I wasn't. I still haven't seen the whole thing. So the Marxist imagery, I still haven't really latched on to. But I do know that there's a lot of red in it. You know, so I don't know. Maybe that's something with the Marxist imagery. Let's see here. Guest 10 says, News Guy 2005. You read the chat screens, but you avoid Whitney Houston. Is that because you hate blacks?
There's nothing to talk about with Whitney Houston. It's not because I don't hate black people. I don't hate the blacks. Yeah, Whitney Houston is old news. She's dead. They're going to re-release The Bodyguard for one night. I don't know why. I mean, you know, they're just going to re-release it for one night. What point is that, you know? So, anyway, let's see here. Coney is more relevant than Lynn said. Coney is proof that social media is being manipulated by various governments and intelligence agencies. Yes, that is correct. That is correct. Yeah, it is correct. That is correct. There's more proof beyond that. I'll just leave it at that. I mean, I could get into a lot of evidence, but I won't get into that right now. Let's see here. I suppose Zogbuster says, I suppose I'll have to read up on this Coney deal after the show to find out why it's relevant. Well, basically, Coney was this African guy. He was a bit of a dictator. He had this Lord's Resistance Army, and his whole thing was he wanted to take over Uganda and run it under the Ten Commandments. And that was going to be the only law that was in power in Uganda. So the Ten Commandments. And his shtick was to kidnap kids, little Ugandan kids, and basically terrorize them and brainwash them into being soldiers. So, you know, what he would do is, you know, he'd brutalize these kids. He'd cut off their faces. No, not their faces, but, you know, he'd cut off their noses, cut off their lips, cut them in different ways, you know, and the ones who really still continued to put up any resistance, he'd kill. He'd have them killed. He'd have these kids kill their fathers and mothers to prove their allegiance to the army, and all sorts of really brutal, brutal, nasty stuff, you know. And child rape was very often a thing there going on. You know, but like I said, you know, the guy is kind of old news in Uganda now. I mean, he hasn't been really around for like 5 years. And the only thing that they've really had for the last couple of 5 years or so has been the rumors that he's been popping up here and there and all of this. So, you know, so it's not really anything like that. So, you know, but I think that, you know, there could be something else to it. In terms of like what Obama's agenda for Africa is, because it is true, you know, that there is this Cold War being played out on the African continent because China has been moving in very significantly over the last 10 years or even longer to gain all the natural resources down there. So America really, you know, has to be in there to win it. But because of the, how do I say, because of the past problems that European nations have always had with the history of being in Africa, even though America never was, you know, never was a European nation that owned any African continent, any African countries. The fact that it is a primarily European-based power, it still has this association with those problems of the European imperialism. So they have to have a different – America has to have a different approach to its presence in Africa, one of a more humanitarian approach, which is actually what – China also does as well. I mean, all of their infrastructure projects down there are all based on cooperation and improving the livelihoods of the African people. But this one with the problem with America is that even if they do these things, is still viewed as being, you know, like, okay, what are they here for, you know? So they have to go in now and have this approach like they're liberating and, you know, and doing even better things to improve the livelihoods of the people down there, which was a big part of why Bush put all those billions of dollars into AIDS funding over the last, during his administration. But then now we've got this problem with the African governments, and there is a perception among the left, and particularly in the African left or the black left, the African-American left, that these dictators are, how would I say, the I guess you could say the remnants of imperialistic or colonial powers, you know, like they came into power as the result of colonialism. And a lot of their brutality is the result of colonial rule because they learned these behaviors from the colonists. Okay, so this is a theory within the left, you know. So, you know, Obama being from the left and being a black man himself, or at least, you know, descended from a black African on his father's side, you know, he might buy into this, or he might agree to this, or at least people within his administration also agree to this. And so this, you might see that this is part of it, you know, and that maybe that's what his agenda will be for Africa in his next term, if he does win a second term. So, you know, this is something that maybe you'll have to, you know, look out for. Maybe what we'll see in Africa over if Obama does win a second term, or even if, you know, because a lot of these international efforts supersede administrations. You know, it's like the plan is put into effect and then it carries over into the next administration. So if Romney, he becomes the Republican candidate and then wins the election this November, then you know, he might have to carry on with this whether he likes it or not. But then the whole idea is maybe to have like an African Spring, okay, in the same way that we had a Middle Eastern, the Arab Spring. So this might be something that has been set up, you know, just so that they can have an American presence there. They put in these populist powers through democratic means, but then they're manipulated to promote the agendas of the American government. So I don't know. Anyway, let's see here. Guess Evan says, exactly, News Guy. You saying that this is the face of Obama policy in Africa. Thank you. Guess Evan, I like Guess Evan. Guess Evan is a cool guy. Guess Evan agrees with me, so he's a cool guy. let's see here. Zogbuster says the Chinese won't be as nice to the blacks as the white man was. Well, this is very true on a lot of levels, but you got to see the propaganda. I mean, it's on the internet. Let me try to find some of it. Maybe I can play a video from it or something. Because there's like a lot of it. I mean, like they are building like these giant railroads throughout Africa, Central Africa, and other like I said, infrastructure projects. And it's all about like, you know, how China is improving the livelihood of African people and improving their livelihood, improving their living standards. And it's really something, you know. So at least on a propaganda level, they're really carrying the day, you know. It's something very interesting to see, you know. And, China isn't very humanitarian, of course. I'm not saying that they are. I'm just saying that their propaganda and their, you know, their whole thing is about that. So Pavarotti and Barry White. Ay, ay, ay. That sounds horrible. That sounds like milk and Pepsi. Does anybody remember that from the Laverne and Shirley days? Like, who was it, Laverne or Shirley? She would always drink milk and Pepsi. And I, one time, I was like, as a kid, I was like, I want to try that. My mom would always say, no, you can't try that. It's going to be disgusting. But I was so insistent that I had to try it. So she said, okay, you try it one time, you see what happens. And it was, I wanted to puke. That was the most disgusting thing, milk and Pepsi. So. Let's see here. China is hardly interested in improving the livelihood of Africans. They're strictly interested in exploitation. I agree, absolutely. I'm not saying that China's interest is improving the livelihood of Africans. I think that, you know, all they're really caring about is getting the natural resources, gaining the political power down there, things like that, you know. The propaganda campaign to get in there and to explain their presence is towards improving the livelihood of Africans. So let's see here. Guest number 8 says, Anthony K. Forwood received a suspended sentence and 9-month term of probation for uttering threats and making harassing phone call. I don't know who that is. So let's see here. Yes, guest number 7, yes, this crap in Africa is all contrived to be like an Arab Spring. Yeah. Guest number 7 is, if you only knew who I was, LOL. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Maybe it's George the Atheist. Or maybe it's that other douchebag, John from Connecticut. Or maybe it's Frank. I don't know. Who knows? Let's see here. Did you hear about the Obama impersonator dying at the age of 4 days? 4 days after Breitbart at the age of 48. Yeah, I did hear about that, and it was very strange. You know, I don't know. It's supposed to come in threes. So who's the number 3 that's going to drop dead? You know. Because Breitbart dropped dead at the age of 43, something like that. And then this guy, the Obama impersonator, dropped dead at the age of 48. So there's got to be somebody else who is, I would say, at least anti-Obama, you know, in their 40s, is going to drop dead. So I don't know. Maybe he already has and we just don't know it, you know. Maybe it was somebody prominent, but not as publicly well-known, who dropped dead. You never know. Laverne drank milk and Pepsi. Okay. And, okay. And let's see here. Guest 12 says, everyone on the show, Laverne and Shirley, was a Jew, except for Aaron Moran and Marion Ross. Yeah, you know, it's very strange. That guy who played... Well, now, was Potsy a Jew? I mean, you know, because it was strange enough to see that, what's the other guy? Richie Cunningham, he's Jewish. I mean, you know, and he looks about as corn-fed Kansas or Iowan or, you know, middle American as you could get. And yet this guy turns out to be Jewish. So, you know, you can never know. I mean, sometimes you can't really tell, you know. Like, who's that other one who's Jewish? The one she married, the guy from that group, and her father was a director. I'm terrible with these names now. She's very beautiful, actually. I know, you're going to hate me for saying that. But what's her name? Blonde. And... she was in the Iron Man movie. Yeah. Paltrow, that's right. Gwyneth Paltrow. Yeah, she's Jewish. Yeah, at least her father is Jewish. I think her mother is about as white as it gets, looking at how she looks. So,
you know.
But let's see here. Scott Baio is not Jewish. That's right. Scott Baio has got to be Italian. You know. And news guy, guest number 7 says, news guy, you watched Happy Days? Well, yeah, I mean, come on. It was on when I was, I'm getting kind of dating myself. But the Fonz was Jewish, yes. Henry Winkler. Anson Williams. Tom Bosley. Now, Tom Bosley was not Jewish. Yeah. And Ralph the Mouth. I don't think he was Jewish either. So. And guest 12 says Gwyneth Paltrow's real name is Paltrowicz. So. Hmm. So. This is funny. So, you never know. Yeah, with these things. That's very interesting. Very interesting. So. I think it is kind of interesting because there's such a stereotypical look about somebody who's Jewish. So then somebody comes along who doesn't look Jewish at all, and then all of a sudden everybody is shocked by that. So, you know, it's always funny to see. Let's see here. Now, actually, I'll wait until I get into that with Lloyd when he comes on in the second hour. But there's a lot of craziness with UF going on, and it's very interesting to see. And I don't know. Well, I'll get into that in the second hour with Lloyd. But wow, somebody's been posting a lot of stuff up on the Nimbusters board. So, wow. This is very, very strange. Okay. Okay. Tom Bosley is Blythe Danner. Who's Blythe Danner? That name sounds familiar. Blythe Danner. I'm looking at her face right now because P. Dembski put a link up in the chat room to Blythe Danner. But I'm looking at her right now, but I don't remember where she was from, you know, what movies or TV shows she was in. I mean, she looks very familiar from the 80s. They show pictures of her, Blythe Danner. But I guess she's supposed to be Jewish, too. So then it goes back in time. So I don't know. Someone posted on Nimbusters that Harrison Ford... Yes, actually, Harrison Ford is a Jew. I think he's only quarter Jew. Because there's a song, if you guys remember, from the 1990s called... Oh, and that's actually something I meant to do. You know, because I get all these ideas about things that I'm going to do for the show, and then I don't write them down, and then I just, you know, they just pop up in my head. And I don't prepare for the show, as you can probably tell. I just kind of get in front of the mic and start bullshitting for like an hour. But so the thing is, yeah, there was a song. I was going to do that was something. I was going to my idea, because last week I was talking about the music from the 90s and how depressing it all was. But then I was thinking about it over the week, and there actually have been good songs from the 90s, so I wanted to play some of them. But I don't know if I really should, you know, at least play them during the show, or at least, you know, maybe do a top 10 or something like that, because the audio quality on TalkStream Live is not really the best for music, you know? I mean, it's better if I were to get, like, a good, you know, MP3 streaming thing, and I can get access to something like that, but I don't know. Maybe during the summer when there's when it's more light and stuff like that, I might do something like that. So anyway, yeah, there was a song in the 90s from Adam Sandler called The Hanukkah Song. And The Hanukkah Song goes down the list of all these people who are Jewish in Hollywood. And it's like, you know, Hollywood is, you know, got so many Jews in it, actors, you know, we're not talking about the people behind the scenes, but just on the acting stage. So many of the actors and actresses in Hollywood are either Jewish, partial Jewish. And Harrison Ford is mentioned in the song as being, I think, quarter Jew. So, yeah. Adam Sandler is really a very strange case, because Adam Sandler, I mean, he basically does the same movie over and over again, you know? It's just like this, you know, this adult male child, adolescent young man, who's still acting like a teenage kid, you know, with his loser friends. And then, you know, somehow he overcomes the odds of the establishment, beats them at their own game, and wins the, of course, it's always a very beautiful, very non-Jewish girl that he wins the hand of in these movies. And it's basically, that's all it is. That's all his movies are. It's the same theme over and over again, you know, whether it's the movie about the golf, whether it's, you know, you just name any of his movies, and it's basically that theme. So it's pretty funny. But, you know, within that general construct, there's a lot of variety, and he can just throw in his jokes and do all of his different things. So, but maybe it would be more efficient to point out who isn't a Jew in Hollywood and music. Well, you know, it would be, but then, you know, you'd have to look at their managers. So, let's see here. Guest number 7 says, watching his movies is like listening to nails scratching at a blackboard. And then guest 12 says, kind of like News Guy and his listeners. minus the spectacular victory. Okay, fine. Let's see here. But somehow the many man in Hollywood keeps financing his films, the city it is in. Yeah, I know. Go figure, right? They're trying to force the Untermensch as the leading man now. So, yeah, I think so. Anyway, let me see. There was something I wanted to play something, but I haven't played in a long time. But Yeah. Well, I think I should wait until the intern comes on, because I don't know, the intern hasn't been around. Because I emailed the intern this week, but the intern didn't respond. So, anyway, you know, because Eurovision is coming up, you know, and Eurovision is very big here in Iceland. Now, it is it has become kind of like this unofficial, like, gay thing. I don't know why. I think because it's really, like, very kitschy, you know. And, of course, it's very pop music, you know. So it's become something for, like, you know, for the gays. But my experience, because I never saw Eurovision, I never even heard of Eurovision in America. It was only when I came here to Iceland that I found out about it. And so my experience with it was always about, you know, as a family event, you know. Family gets together, everybody has a, you know, nice feast, you know, has, you know, a lot of very yummy things to eat, and everybody watches this, and then they call in with whatever song they want to win and all that type of thing. And, you know, so it's pretty fun. And Iceland takes it pretty seriously, because it's one of, at least it used to be, one of the only ways that a country, or especially a smaller country like Iceland, could get any notoriety or exposure on a on a very public stage. So they put a lot of effort into winning the contest, or at least, you know, doing a good presentation, a good show for their part, so that people would at least notice Iceland in some way. So I think that they've already done. Yeah, they already have done their whole process. here in Iceland to determine which song is going to be the song that represents Iceland this year. And it's from a group called Blaur Opal, and it's called Statu Up, which means stand up. And so, like, the song, the chorus goes, stand up for yourself. And, like, Statu Up for yourself. So, you know, stand up for yourself. So that's what he's saying, stand up for yourself. And it's pretty strange, because Blaur Opal is, like, the blue opal, like, the blue, like, you know, well, you know what an opal is. I don't have to explain to you what an opal is. But it's a boy band. But in the song, they're kind of mixing in, like, your traditional boy band pop kind of thing. I think, what was the name of that group from the 90s? Well, you know, you think of any of your boy bands, you know. But then they mix in rap with it. So, you know, you're going to hear Icelanders rapping in this. So you'll have to forgive. And, you know, it's a good thing that Pastor Lindstedt is not in the chat room, because he'd be saying, you know, things about we're having a Uyghur problem. But anyway, it's a pretty nice song. I'm not going to translate the lyrics for you right now, but it's pretty good. And it's a nice little pop thing. So, you know, you'll have to forgive that. But I'm going to play it right now before I bring Lloyd on. And here it goes right now. This is Iceland's 2012 entry into the Eurovision Song Contest. Once again, this is Blaur Opal. We'll start to hoop.
Þú búir ekki að segja mikið meira Þú ættir þér einn bara að hlusta og heyra Þú veist að vinir þú þarft að fara að trúa á þig Þú veist að hlusta á mig Ef ég segir þér og nú sem tími til að snúa við Og finna síðan innri frið Gjörðu það sem til átt að líla ekki með fyrir því Ekki gerum því, ekki gefa
from the sound of it, or at least from what people were saying in the chat room, I gotta let everybody know that the song is over because some people just turned their song, just turned their volumes off. The song is over. People I somehow drove people out. I didn't drive people out of the chat room, but I only wanted to play that song. The song is 100% Antares auto-tune. Yeah, it actually is. It actually is because when they did this live, there's a there was this whole thing to determine who gets to go into the song into the Eurovision Song Contest representing Iceland on the national channel, the national television channel. There's a show, kind of like American Idol. In fact, I would not be surprised if American Idol was based on Eurovision because the process of determining who goes into the main competition and all of that stuff, it's almost, it's, you know, of course it's distinctly European and incredibly kitschy, but it's basically the same thing. So I would not be surprised because Eurovision has been around for like 40 years now, probably longer. In Iceland, there's this whole thing where they have this, top 10 people, they do their song live and everybody calls in to vote. And, it's a week long process. So they really take this shit seriously. I'm not joking when I say that. But when this group played this song live, it sounded like they did not sound as good as they do sound, on the record. And it's all because of this, ridiculous auto tune. So, it is garbage. There were actually some other better songs, but I won't play them either because they're all in Icelandic and you probably, probably hate them too. But anyway, let's see here. Let me see. I got to play something now to make up for that. Wait a minute. Okay, I'm going to play this song. Hopefully this makes up for it. I hope.
Drive for
And that was Sweden's Saga with Strike Force. And this is the News Guy Show. Now, everybody's putting up songs that I should play. I don't know. Maybe I should play them. But let's see here. Now, Pete Dempsey put this one up. All right, I'll play this one. Let's see what this one's about. Maybe I won't play it. But Clem Tholett, Rhodesians Never Die. This is the News Guy Show.
Here's the story of Rhodesia, a land both fair and great. On the 11th of November, an independent state. This was much against the wishes of certain governments, whose leaders tried to break us down and make us all repent. But we're all Rhodesians and we're quite true thick and thin. We keep our land, the free lands of the enemy coming in. We'll keep them north of the Zambezi till that river's running dry. And this mighty land will prosper for Rhodesians never die. They can send their men to murder, they can shout their words of hate. At the cost of keeping this land free can never be too great. For our men and boys are fighting for the things that they hold dear. And this land and all its people will never disappear. Cause we're all Rhodesians and we'll fight from thick and thin. We'll keep our land a free land of the enemy coming in. We'll keep them north of the Zambezi, all that river's running dry. This mighty land will prosper for Rhodesians never die. We'll preserve this little nation for our children's children too. Once you're a Rhodesian, no other land will do. We will stand tall in the sunshine with the truth on our side. And if we have to go alone, we'll go alone with pride. Cause we're all Rhodesians and we'll fight through thick and thin. We'll keep our land, the free land of the enemy coming in. We'll keep them north of us and easy, so that the river's running dry. And this mighty land will prosper for Rhodesians never die. Yes, we're all Rhodesians and the fight through thick and thin. We'll keep our land a free land of the enemy coming in. We'll keep them north of us and easy, let the rivers running dry. And this mighty land will prosper, for Rhodesians never die. Because we're all Rhodesians and we're quite true thick and thin. We'll keep our land a free land of the enemy coming in. We'll keep them north of us and easy, so that the river's running dry. This mighty land will prosper, for Rhodesians never die.
And that was Clem Tholett with Rhodesians Never Die. And this is the News Guy Show. And yes, you know, actually, well, somebody was saying something in the chat room, but let's see here. Where is it? Let's see. I don't see it now. Well, anyway. Yeah. Okay. Well, I was looking at the pictures and the video of the thing, you know, and it was reminding me, you know, that in Rhodesia, when they were fighting the communist forces there, their army had a significant portion of it were blacks. Now, see, the thing is that, you know, whenever you hear the propaganda against Rhodesia, they always say it was like an apartheid state. They refused to let blacks vote, you know, and all of this, you know, and that was really the whole part of why, you know, because the agenda of the British government in releasing its colonies was to release them to black Africans and let them rule themselves. Then all of a sudden, Rhodesia stepped up and said, hey, you know what? We're not going to go out like that. we're calling ourselves independent. Yes, we're going to still have, like Canada, we're going to have the Queen as our monarch and all of that kind of craziness, but we're going to be an independent country. And we're going to set the rules and agenda by ourselves. But they had a significant portion of blacks fighting in their army against these black communists. You know, and my theory, and I was thinking about it when I was looking at that, and I've thought about this before, but just, you know, the idea re-popped up into my head, was that had Rhodesia actually succeeded and actually beat back the ZANU-PF and won the day, would they have eventually allowed blacks to vote? And I think that they would have. I mean, they couldn't have denied black people who had fought and died next to whites in preserving the Rhodesian state full citizenship, including the right to vote. I don't think they could have. You know, there would be no legitimate claim to it. So I think that, you know, and my theory is, and I'll restate it again, that had Rhodesian won the day, they would have allowed blacks to vote because, like I said, you know, they fought the war and the blacks helped to fight helped the war to win. So, anyway, it's just a theory because it can never really be proven, of course, because Rhodesia did not win the day. So anyway, with that note, Pooty is logged into the chat. Get off my phone, Pooty. Let's see here. I'm going to bring Lloyd on. And here we go. Welcome to our office. Our show, Lloyd Davies. Hello, Lloyd.
Hello, Pneumonian. How's everybody doing tonight?
Doing good, Lloyd. Doing good.
All right, news guy. First thing here, I want to give a shout out to Paul Dembski, and I'm not in the chat tonight. Is Frankenwigger there?
Frankenwigger was here for a short time before.
Okay. Want to give a shout out to him, and let's see. Said the intern wasn't on there.
Felix in New Jersey left as soon as you got on.
Well, oh well. Anyway, first of all, I want to give a big F you to Pinkle Weasel.
Yes.
And I'm not finished yet. And a big F you to them tards. They were ruining Pastor Lindstedt's chat room the other night in his show. Thursday night.
Uh-huh.
And,
what were they doing?
I listened to part of it. Then I went to bed. Then I checked the board later in the night, and the tards had, lock up his chat room and I just want to say that's not very nice. If you don't agree with Pastor Lindstedt and his views, that's fine. Just, you know, he should still have the right to have his talk show shows. I don't agree with 85% of what he says, but, you know, I like to listen to him. I like to listen to Russ call in. I like to listen to Logan. I don't agree with what they say a lot of the time, but, you know, I still enjoy listening to him. You guys just ruin it for everybody else.
No, what were they doing in the chat room?
Oh, they would just, you know, spam the chat room and then lock it up. I guess he's got an older computer or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And then when that happens, you know, it locks up the chat room. He can't get into it, and then people can hijack his show like that, like UT did, you know.
Yes. Now, and speaking of UT, there's been a lot of craziness going on with that guy. I don't know if you've been getting his Pinky Weasel newsletter.
Let's see. I got Sour Winky.
Uh-huh.
Soured Winky.
Uh-huh.
Winky. And then Sour Winky with an underscore in between two of them.
Yeah, me
like four
too.
Four or five different Winkies. What's a Winky?
That's a good question. I have no idea what a Winky is.
Yeah.
unless it sounds like Pinky and it kind of looks like something else, I don't know. And he wrote some very nasty things about you.
I know, and you know that's the thing is that can be that's a blogger site, right?
No, it's like sort of
blog. He's got a blog.
Okay, because you know what it comes from me. It comes from some stupid thing, like some newsletter or something like this.
Yeah. But he's also got a blog on Blogger.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And, you know, the stuff he writes, I don't care if he wants to make fun of me and call me, you know, they call me a tard, a lard ass, and all that stuff. But when he started getting into that kitty diddler stuff, you know, right there, that's grounds for a lawsuit, in my opinion.
Uh-huh.
Now that he's put, you know, he's posted on that email site and he's put on Blogger, he gets them into a liability, you know, position.
Well, I don't know. Blogger, because it's owned by Google, I don't think they really care. I mean, their whole thing is just about free speech. You know, they've been sued a couple of times in the past, very recently in the last 5 or 6 years. Well, 4 or 5 years. Yeah, you know, like there was something like somebody put up a blog called New York Skanks.
Yeah.
It was about some middle-aged cougar type who was running around in New York, you know, dry-humping black men and all this type of stuff. And so, you know, whoever put this blog up was calling this woman a skank, and this woman took them to court, and the blogger's identity eventually got revealed because the court ruled on that. So I don't know. I mean, there's all sorts of craziness going on with Blogger. But Google tends to just be, you know, the only thing that they'll really do is just put you behind some sort of parental warning. You know, like if the blog is really offensive, they'll just, you know, put you under some sort of a thing where you have to click to okay, warning you beforehand that if you go in, then you're going to be, you know, viewing things that are kind of obscene, you know?
Yeah, I understand. But, you know, it's just, you know, it's terrible.
It is terrible. But, you know, this is the whole thing. It's a newsletter. But the way that I get it, it's like from some sort of a newsletter. And it says mail42.us4.mandrillapp.com.
Okay.
So, and then
I finally figured out why I wasn't getting them. What it was putting them automatically in my junk mail folder.
Ah, okay.
I cleaned out my email last night, and I noticed all these Winkies and soured Winkies and stuff in my junk folder, so I read them. I mean, some of them are funny. I mean, I noticed one where he's got my address and ISIS and Chris Drake and...
Yeah.
You know, what this guy's been dead of with the pneumonia. If he doesn't like UF, he should just focus his wrath on UF and not worry about the rest of us. Leave the rest of us alone.
Yeah, I don't know. I do not know. And then there was something where he was saying that he was Dale McCone.
Yeah, I haven't heard of that name before.
Dale _ McHone. And... Yeah, I don't know. And then he was saying that he was going to go after Stan or something. He was threatening Stan. I don't know. But Stan was posting on the Nimbusters board earlier today about it. And I was trying to find it. But, you know, he was posting all that kind of stuff, saying that, like, UF has been posting on the board under, like, all sorts of craziness, you know?
Yeah, I know. I don't know. I don't know what's wrong with the guy.
Yeah, I think he's just kind of crazy or something. I don't know why he's doing it, you know?
Yeah. But anyway, let's see, what else are we going to talk about? You were going to ask me some stuff on the board? Wait until I got on the show?
Oh, yeah. What is this about Lindstedt wanting to become a sheriff?
He said that in his last show. I listened to part of it, you know, and he said that he went up there to register himself for Newton County Sheriff, and then he put Roxy down for a county commissioner.
Uh-huh.
And I sent you a message on Facebook last night. We need to get a hold of Picasso, and he can make a campaign poster for him. He needs to have him a nice-looking campaign poster, Lindstedt for sheriff, and think of something, some creative status.
Yeah.
Well, not status. I'm reading. I'm on Facebook here. I'm trying to read somebody's status here, but he needs to have a nice slogan, something nice, not real bad. You know, not like I'm going to geld everybody or anything. Just something nice. And you know,
yeah.
Use it. Sheriff 2012. I mean, don't put his Aryan Nations logo on there. Just put, you know, Lindstedt for sheriff. You know.
That's right. Yeah, I would agree with that. Why isn't this coming up now?
I mean, that's what I think he ought to do. Of course, you know, he probably won't do that.
No, I don't think.
And then he bought a house. Today on the NIM board. I see it was earlier in the day, like during the morning. I don't know if you looked at that down or not.
Mm.
Let's see. Let's scroll down here. All these spam posts and nonsensical posts. That's. You know,
oh, can I just say something? Because I'm looking at some of the threads that were posted. I hate Manco Moeller. I absolutely despise that son of a bitch. I don't know why, but I can't stand that guy. So
let's see. Okay, Church of Jesus Christ Christian Aryan Nations of Missouri DSCI Seminary.
Uh-huh.
And it's got a picture of this house. All right. And it's got a picture of a. It's just like a house. And somebody. It's not even a trailer. And some tard named Mark. So Aryan Nations now is a trailer in Missouri. No thanks. Go with the white man. Not even a trailer. it's a house. It's you know, if you read the description of it,
mm-hmm.
It's not a bad looking house.
Okay.
But he said he wanted to use the house. It's Roxy's family, and he said he wanted to make the house into a. It's got two bedroom, one bathroom, full basement house, which is set up to be a dual seed line Christian identity seminary. He also got a lot of 1 acre lot suitable for a garden.
Uh-huh.
Although the lot slopes and the basement is set into the hillside.
Hmm. Hmm.
But anyway, he also wanted to make it kind of into maybe a halfway house for some of these people that are. You know, can't get out and live out in the Northwest, or you know, with Harold Covington or something like that. He would rent part of it out as kind of a halfway house to some folks.
Hmm. The Eastern Branch of the Northwestern Initiative, I guess. Yeah. This is pretty interesting.
I mean, it looks like a nice little house. Not bad shape. He probably got it for pretty much enough. You know, he got a family discount, so it's you know hard telling what he got it for.
Yeah, that seems pretty cool. I mean, you know, the thing is that I was looking for it because somebody posted it on the NIM board earlier. Here it is. This is his. Okay, now this is what he wrote. This is what Martin Lindstedt wrote. Vote for me, and I promise a bloodbath against Uyghur, Mamzer, and Jew social parasites. And regime criminals, and to set up a fine example as the first of the 10,000 warlords. Save the white race. Kill as many as my nut house friends used to say. Us whites need to start running the open-air, coast-to-coast nut house, that is Zog Babylon, the third and final, right into the effing ground, and finish it off after the Great Tribulation does most of the heavy lifting and killing.
Oh, Lord.
I don't think he's going to win sheriff.
That's what, you know.
I don't think that if that's his campaign platform, I don't think the guy's going to get many votes.
Lord, no.
You know, that's the whole thing. I don't think that, I you know, it's like, yeah. So if you're here. I'm a religious fanatic and a sociopath with an axe to grind and want to bury the hatchet into a regime criminal's pointy head and not a shit-eating politician. Excuse the language. So if you are a white man, so if you are white and you know what is good for you, you had better vote for me. That's... I don't know. I don't think he's going to win many votes with that.
Just saying.
Probably not, you know, but, you know, I don't know. I think he tries and he tries and he tries, and I don't know if he's just doing it for himself or just doing it to prove a point or anything, but, yeah. You know, I don't know.
Well, you know, now, what is the position that Proxy is running for?
County commissioner.
Okay, because I thought maybe she was going to be a deputy.
He was going to have her go. He was going to drive up to Springfield and have her for United States Senator.
Because I just want to see her in a sheriff's outfit, not a sheriff's outfit, but a deputy's outfit. You know, with the badge and everything. That's what I want to see.
Somebody could get a picture of they did it with me and Steve Holston several years ago on the NIM board where they doctored our heads in with Andy Griffith and Barney Fife.
Oh no.
What's that for sheriff?
Or maybe instead of Sheriff Lobo. Do you remember that TV show?
What's that?
Sheriff Lobo?
Oh, okay.
That's from the 70s, the late 70s, a TV show. It was this spinoff from a show called BJ and the Bear.
I've never heard.
Oh, man, I gotta play the theme song for you. Hold on, here it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to play the theme song for Sheriff Lobo.
And the legend tells who stands for what is right. Like Wyatt, he never shirks or cowers from a fight. He is our Sheriff Lobo, mighty Sheriff Lobo, not a Lobo. But he is strong. Yes, he's here, he's always here, his morals stand alone. Man of dreams who guards our sins as if they were his own. He walks the streets from early on, he stands behind our laws. Though soon and small, he bends them all, he dares to fight his cause. He is our Sheriff Lobo, mighty Sheriff Lobo.
Vamos, marcha!
Well, that wasn't Spanish. Well, there you go. I should get a better version of it. But that's with the great Claude Akins starring as Sheriff Lobo. Well, let's see. Maybe this is a better version.
Yeah. And the legend tells who stands for what is right. Like Wyatt Earp, he never shirks or cowers from a fight. He's our Sheriff Lobo, mighty Sheriff Lobo.
Well, there you go. You get the idea.
Oh, man.
Too much.
For a dull moment on them busters, is there?
That's true.
I mean, come on now. I mean, you know, you got like Lindstedt and all that, and, you know, and Logan. I didn't listen to Logan's show. He probably talked about Nazi flying saucers four or five times and
yeah,
everything.
Oh,
and,
well, you know, that's the whole thing. Lindstedt's got to put Logan Hunter on the ticket.
God.
Can you imagine Logan Hunter up there, you know, on the platform, and he's making the stump speeches for Lindstedt? Holy smokes.
Shoot, they both could talk for 4 or 5 hours. Man, when I listen to them things, you know, I listen to them shows, and I have to listen to an hour or two and then turn it off and then come back in an hour or two and listen to part of it again. You can't listen to that thing the whole time.
That's right. Yeah,
absolutely,
yeah.
Nothing, unless it's just rainy or cold or whatever outside and you got nothing else to do but lay on the couch and listen to the guy.
and then, that's the whole thing. You had said to me a while back that you got to take it in pieces. You know, you can't listen to the whole thing.
You can't listen to it in the whole show. I mean,
that's right.
Anyway, I just, man, I tell you, it's just, he's unbelievable.
He is. So,
I mean, you know, after Hal Turner went and got locked up, we didn't have a show to listen to, and then we got Pastor Lindsett kind of filled them shoes quite adequately, didn't he?
I think so. But I can just imagine if Hal does come back, you know, would Lindstedt get a show on the network, you know?
I don't know.
That would be interesting. Has Lindstedt ever called into Hal's show?
I don't think so.
Okay. Because I heard something about that.
You know, I've listened to plenty of Hal, and I don't remember.
Okay.
I don't.
But now this is the whole thing that, like what I was saying before, that Stan was posting things about UF.
Yeah.
So earlier today, Stan posted this some sort of a legal law. It's like 18.2-60, and he says, "Yes, UF, you have broken that law numerous times on NIMBusters. How many times did you threaten to kill Brian Rio, Yankee Jim, Kurt Maynard, Roger, and me? Have you forgotten? Can I refresh your memory with my databases?"
Where's
This was back at 10 in the morning.
Okay, let me just scroll down here.
I think it was on page 2 by now. It's on page 2 by now, I think. Oh, so.
That the non-mute guy died today.
Yeah. So you know, it's very strange. Very, very strange. Well, it's not strange. I mean, he was an old guy. He was very sick, you know.
Yeah.
But they put him through hell.
I know.
Yeah. I don't know why. I mean, because first they said he was that Ivan the Terrible. Then they convicted him. Then the Israeli court said, no, he wasn't Ivan the Terrible. But they said that maybe he was some other, like, you know, guard, you know.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, but then
UF, I think so. I don't know if he claimed on the show one time. Remember, I asked him that we had that NIMBusters chat one night, and he said that I was going to die in my own home by his hand or something.
Yeah, yeah, and UF has, you know, posted threats against me. He's posted threats against Frank. He's tried to. I don't know if he has succeeded, but I don't think he has. But he's tried to send pizzas and gay porn and Wired magazine subscriptions to Frank.
Yeah.
You know. So, you know.
How do you get Frank's identity and address?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
I'm trying to figure that one out because I think Frank, I just know him as Frank of Queens. I don't know his real name.
Yeah, I don't know either. But it's very, very strange. Skip Tracers, guest number 12 is saying.
Was it a good right perspective last week? I mean yesterday?
Well, yeah, it was okay. I mean, it was better than, what's his name? Mark Emanuel was on.
Okay, I haven't listened to the show. I didn't get to listen to the show last night.
Yeah, but it was really funny, though. Because John was playing too many clips. But, and at a certain point, you could hear that Mark Emanuel was getting a little tired of it. But it was pretty funny because at one point, Mark said that he supports Ron Paul's foreign policy. And he says that, yeah, you know, we just don't have the money to be sending over to all of these countries, paying them for all of this foreign aid that we keep doing. And John didn't say a thing about it. Very, very funny. It was like the first time. Because usually John is like, Ron Paul's a kook, Ron Paul's this, Ron Paul's that. And if anybody starts to argue with him, then he starts screaming them down and everything.
Yeah.
So, this time around, all of a sudden, he got real quiet when Mark Emanuel said that. So I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah. I voted Tuesday, and Alabama and Mississippi had their primaries this last week. And I believe Rick Santorum won both states.
What did you vote for?
I voted to Newt Gingrich.
Ah, okay.
Didn't say last week on the show I was going to vote for Newt Gingrich?
I thought you were just thinking about it.
Well, I voted for him. But anyway.
Did you vote for Newt Gingrich?
Yeah.
Well, why?
I don't know.
Oh. You don't know?
I didn't want to vote for Mitt Romney. And I hate to hurt your feelings, but Ron Paul wasn't, you know, doing very well. It'd just be like throwing a vote away if I voted for Ron Paul.
Ah, that's never throwing a vote away for Ron Paul. No, it's don't stop believing, like the song says.
I know, but anyway, I was going in there to get my KFC on Tuesday. They had the liver special. I went in there to KFC, and they had CNN on. They had, what's her name, Erin Burnett on there.
Ah,
I watched a little bit of that. Yeah, they had the TV in Pastor Lindstedt mode, where it was muted, where you could just watch it and it was muted.
Uh-huh.
You know how Pastor Lindstedt's mentioned on a show that he watches TV with it muted?
Yes.
So it was in Pastor Lindstedt mode, and I you could see the graphics on the screen, and I heard him say that half the people in Alabama believe that Obama's a Muslim and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
And then they went on to break down a percentage on voters, how they do their little graphical pie charts, exit polls, and stuff like that. And they were saying that they were really putting it to Alabama and Mississippi. They put it on there. They said it had stuff like a percentage were evangelical white voters, born agains, and stuff like that that voted and all this stuff. I mean, they just went down the thing with it, you know.
They really like to bash the South because there was this bit that the Daily Show had. I think it was the Daily Show, and they went down to not Alabama, but I think it was Louisiana, and they just took a bunch of people and were asking them about things, you know. And they had one guy saying, "I don't like Obama. I don't want to watch him when he comes on TV. I turn it off." And then they said, "Is that because he's black?" And he says, The Southerner says, no, it's because he's a half-breed.
Yeah. So anyway, they enjoy, you know, I could tell, you know, they just, you know, people were educated, non-educated. They just really put down, you know, the South. I mean, they do that all the time on these networks and stuff. But anyway, let's see. I'm trying to think of something else here I was going to talk to you about.
Oh, did you hear about this in China? Hold on. I'm looking for it here. Chinese girls commit suicide dreaming of time travel.
Oh, I saw it. I saw that post earlier on the board.
Yeah. You know, because these girls, somebody lost the remote control to the garage door.
Yeah.
They end up, you know, drowning themselves in the pool. But then she says she let her suicide note. She wrote she planned to travel back to the Qing dynasty to make a film of an emperor, and she wanted to visit outer space. And they're all blaming it on these time travel shows, but they don't say which ones.
Man, I tell you, you just can't have any fun anymore.
I know.
I heard you talk about that pony guy.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of crazy.
Yeah.
I'm always saying that, you know, whenever these left leaning causes get, you know, a lot of praise or something like that, a week or two, a short time later, you find that the founder's doing this or one of the organizers is in trouble or something like that. That's always just ironic.
Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah, I don't know why that always happens.
Just really. You know, that always makes me wonder. I mean, because people post, I had a lot of people on Facebook repost the thing about 40 freaking times and stuff on there, saying they couldn't believe how much bad things there are in the world and stuff like that. And, you know, I mean, what do? You just tell them, it's like, shoot, that stuff's been going on for 20 years.
Right, yeah. Well, longer now, than that.
And they're just now just waking up to the stuff. I don't understand that.
Yeah, yeah. It's very strange. It's very strange.
Let's see here. One second here. Let's see here. Wait a second. Let me see.
Is Deloy Lavies in there tonight?
Deloy Lavies is not in the show.
I think I ran him off. Kind of won on that one. Stan took down the HalTurner.net. I just looked at this week or last week or so.
No kidding.
And yes, he did. And the post, I think Thursday or something. I posted Thursday. It was back at the. I had to go back several pages, but you know, again, he didn't notify me about this being taken the board down. Why didn't he notify me of these? I was a key moderator over there. So I posted on there, you know, I think because of no notification, I should go ahead and get the keys back to the ham board. And I thought it was you that posted, yes, that's do the right thing or something like that.
No, I don't even remember that post.
Okay, but it was said, you know, and then Stan says, I'll give you the cocksucker's lounge. Why do I keep getting stuck with this cocksucker's lounge for, news guy? I don't understand all that.
I don't understand that either. I don't know why he would want it. I don't know, because the Cocksucker's Lounge just seems to be a graveyard for spam.
It's the Tar Corral of the Tar Corral.
That's right. Everything.
Nobody's going to post over there. I mean, it's because this is going to be a dead board. I mean, you know.
Absolutely, you know. And then the guest number 23 says, because Lloyd is a cocksucker. See, now that's not right.
No, it's not.
That's wrong. And then Wang Tang is saying, I'll take over the Nimbusters board.
No.
I don't know who Wang Tang is.
Do you think Tang will take down the board in April, or is that just another one of his things he just does?
Well, I don't know. I think because, you know, he gets fed up with all the spam. He gets fed up with the pooty posts, you know, things like that. You know, and he doesn't really want to be a babysitter for some, you know, retards who, you know, just want to spam. And that's understandable, you know. But it's unfortunate that he would want to take it down.
Yeah. There's a poster here was posted this afternoon. Board's coming down after the news guy show tonight. Archive what you can and goodbye. It's posted by admin, but it's not in bold. He's being an imposter. And then there's a post a little bit later says, board looks slow today. Everybody here goes out to the mall with their fat wives and kids on Saturday. Maybe he's sulky. Maybe his meth lab blew up hope for the best. UF super fast troll speaketh.
Well, yeah, you know, the whole thing is that if it is true that Stan is going to take the board down, then we should all archive as much as we can.
Why does Lloyd smell? This is the post on the board. Why does Lloyd smell so bad?
That's horrible.
And then what's the difference between Lloyd and a pizza? What's the difference between Lloyd and a bunk bed?
Oh, boy.
This is supposed to live. Why does Lloyd smell so bad so the blind can hate him too?
Oh, come on. That's horrible.
Tough. I mean.
Yeah.
A bunk bed can support two kids.
Yeah.
What's the difference between Lloyd and a pizza?
I don't know.
Pizza can feed a family of four. Now, what's that supposed to be?
That's an old racist joke about black people.
Nimbuster guessing game. Who used all these names in a 10-day period?
Yes, that was UF who used all those names.
Dang. He's Lloyd Davies, the Time Lord. He postured me. Roger Greasy, Jew Wiseman. Rio, Brian, UF, KM, Pastor Martin Lindstedt.
Yeah, I don't know why he's doing those things. He keeps doing all these really horrible things, UF. And
I think UF's behind the pit weasel.
You think that UF is behind the Pickle Weasel?
I think he is.
Well, you know, that's the thing. I mean, his mailings, they come with Cletus Coleman.
Yeah.
But then
Pickle Weasel in one of his newsletters tries to see UF. What he does is he'll do this stuff, and then later on, like, he'll cover it up. He says, "Well, Pickle Weasel says I hijacked UF's email."
Mm-hmm. Well, he's bad at it too. You know,
or after his performance on Pastor Lindstedt's show up in January, he calls in like an hour or two later and kind of just I just realized there's been some stuff going on the board. I just wanted to call and check it out.
Yeah. It's pretty lame, you know. I wouldn't be surprised if he was the one guy behind, Hal getting all these problems either.
You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Pastor Lindstedt on the call? Is he in the chat room?
No, I don't see him here.
Yeah, it's 2 weeks he's missed our show.
Well, maybe he will call in. You never know.
I like when he calls in sometimes. You know, I like listening to him. And
well, he's got a show. He's on 2 times a week. You can listen to him then.
Oh, I know, but how about calling in again one of these days again to a show?
I have to hear that. When did you call him? Call in.
It was back in January, that week of the show got jammed.
Okay.
Oh, Pastor Lindstedt called his friend in the Nut House the other night, too.
Oh, okay. See?
His friend Jimbo or somebody in a Nut House up in St. Joseph, Missouri. He called him the Bishop of St. Joe. Made him a bishop. Okay.
Well, yeah. Hey, what do you think about this guy, this American soldier who went crazy in Afghanistan?
You know, I really don't know.
Okay.
They said his lawyer said that they weren't going to release his identity, and then his identity was released yesterday.
Yeah, that was very strange.
If they released his identity, his family might be somebody might take a reprisal on his family. That's a strong possibility.
Yeah. You know, like maybe some Islamic terrorist or something like that.
I mean, you know, I don't know. What do you think they'll do to him, though?
Well, I don't know. They might find him not guilty for reason of insanity, you know. Because that's the whole thing. I mean, a lot of these guys, you know, they're getting like these tours of duty over and over again, you know, like six times. And, you know, and each time they promise, this is the last time you're going to go.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they think, oh, thank God, I made it through alive. I made it through in one piece.
Yeah.
You know,
because
a lot of these guys don't, they don't die, but they wind up becoming permanently disfigured. They lose an arm or a leg. You know, and there's a lot of such really severe, problems like that. So, you know, then all of a sudden they have to go back for like, you know, 6 times in a row like this.
Yeah, I know.
Wears out on somebody.
I think that does. It gives them, you know, because you hear about the Vietnam vets. After Vietnam, they had all these crazy things, too.
Yeah.
It's nothing new, I mean, for this to happen. I mean, you know, you had people in Vietnam come back, and they did a couple tours of duty in Nam and saw a lot of things that they couldn't comprehend. And that happened the same way, because back in the 80s, you know, you heard a lot of people acting up and stuff like that. And, you know,
right.
People tend to forget that stuff. So we have such a short memory anymore that, you know.
Right. Yeah, that's true. That's a good point, you know.
It's not a surprise to me that stuff happens.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, war is hell. I mean, you know, that was, you know, you got to realize that.
Yeah, that's true.
Even in World War II, I'm sure people had a lot of problems, too.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff that, you know, when they went and liberated them Holocaust camps and stuff like that, you know,
Right. Yeah, you never know, you know. I mean, like, there probably were a lot of people who, you know, came back from World War II, had problems, but because there was such a tremendous outpouring from the government to help them, you know, GI bills, I mean, you name it, they got it. But then after Vietnam, that wasn't really such the case, and, you know.
I know. I just, you know.
So, well,
I think, you know, it's very strange, but maybe he will be able to, maybe because of what he's done, this will give a better focus on what the soldiers are really going through.
Well, they indicated that he kind of snapped. I mean, you know, of course, you know, it's hard to say.
Yeah, it's hard to say. Yeah. And our good friend Hugo Chavez, he's returned from having the cancer surgery in Cuba.
And he made it. Oh, darn. let's see. Yeah, him and Castro and that guy in Bolivia. You know, I pray the Lord does his thing with them, has his way with them. You know, and I don't know. I don't understand these people. I don't understand. You know, it's funny. You've watched Saturday Night Live over the years, haven't you?
Yes.
You know, I think, you know how Saturday Night Live always made fun of Bush and everything and did all this? You know, they haven't made fun of Obama hardly.
Well, yeah. Well, I remember there was a recent bit where they played where it was all these black people. They were showing how black people will vote for Obama no matter what.
Yeah. But they haven't done a whole lot about Obama, really, I mean, in general. I heard that comment the other day.
Yeah.
I was reading Inbuster Board or something else, or, you know, and then I was thinking, you know, they villainized Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and that Christine O'Donnell, and they just villainized them to death.
Right.
Just over and over, and they villainized Tim Tebow. They had that Tim Tebow video about Tim Tebow, and, you know, I just don't understand. Anybody that's, you know, of course, it's a liberal show. I don't think I've really ever watched Saturday Night Live. It's just not one of my things to watch them kind of things.
Oh.
That's a terrible show.
But then they do have, like, some sort of Obama impersonator, right?
You know, you were talking about that earlier when I tuned in. I didn't know there was an Obama impersonator.
Yeah. Well, the Saturday Night Live, their own Obama impersonator. I'm sorry?
Why would somebody want to impersonate him?
Well, because then you can make a lot of money going around to making fun of Obama.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand that. I wouldn't have a use for that.
Yeah. And it's pretty funny. It's like all these white guys, you know, and they're dressed up like Obama, and Obama's black, but, you know. Imagine somebody dressed up like you know, what was that guy's name who did the blackface, you know, dressed up in blackface, you know, and then he says, "I'm Obama."
Oh. Oh yeah, I do remember that guy.
Yeah.
That was a white man doing that on news. If it was a black person, no one would say nothing.
Right. Yeah, Al Jolson. Yeah, imagine if somebody dressed up like Al Jolson and then they said they were Obama.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. That might be. So, well, we'll just have to see what happens with Lindstedt's county sheriff campaign.
I said, you need to get a hold of Picasso this week. He's going to make up campaign posters. I think they make one that rocks.
Huh?
Have him make one that's really cool.
Yeah. We'll have to get him up on, get him out there and have him do something.
Make a Facebook account that says Lindstedt for Sheriff 2012. And
put a Facebook page up. That's brilliant.
And then you could get a phone book of Green Bay, Missouri, and start calling residents over there to get them to vote for Lindstedt for sheriff.
Robo calls. Yeah. Play some robocalls of Lindstedt, like splices his words together from his radio show. And put it on a robocall and send it out there.
I think it'd be great to get some. I think it'd be great.
I'm Pastor Lindstedt, and I approve of this message.
Oh, I tell you. Oh, Lord. What will we do without people like him?
I don't know. I don't know. But Wang Tang is saying if Martin wins, he wants to be a deputy.
Well, if he wins the sheriff, he's the sheriff. He doesn't have to be a deputy. He's a sheriff.
No, Wang Tang.
Oh, he wants to be a deputy.
Yeah, Wang Tang wants to be a deputy.
Well, you know, he's got a pretty busy plate between doing the movement turd and running his seminary, and then if he wins sheriff, and he's busy. You know, he wants that Roxy Run county commissioner, and you know what he needs to do. And I thought about this today after seeing the picture and everything. When Lindsay gets his seminary set up and he has the opening ceremony, he's to have invite all the Nimbusters out, have a big old shindig.
Yeah, that would be great.
We just show that up.
Would, yeah.
Steve Olson and Stan, and you could speak by Skype phone and invite Eli James and Brian Rio and Morris Gallant and folks out there, Floyd Cochran and Sandra Boone, big photo op.
That's right. It could be like the first NIMM Fest, the first official NIMM Fest.
You know, and he can invite several of his warlords to show up, and Todd Doherty can show up after he gets out of his probation. And
how many warlords are there in the 10,000 Warlords Project?
You know, I don't know. Really, don't know. I don't think he has. I don't know. I don't think I count. I don't think you count. What's his name up there? I don't think Frankenwigger's a warlord.
I'm sorry.
What's the other guy's name? Andreas Donner that calls up from Seattle, and I don't think they're warlords.
I think
they're just fans of the show.
Maybe this is a better theme song for Lindstedt's campaign. Hold on, here it is. Oh, that's not so much of a theme song, but it's Deputy Dog.
Yeah. Oh, he'll probably listen to this archive later and want to know what we were talking about.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe he will be. But
he'll be calling you Peter Lithgood Mamzer, and he hadn't had a name for me yet.
No, he just calls you Lloyd.
Yeah.
You know you've arrived when you've become a name from Lindstedt.
Yeah. I like for him to make name tags for whenever they have one of the Aryan Nation conferences. He's got names like Anglo Mestizo Truett and Mo Gallet and Sword Mamzer and all these names. Oba Bender, Ginger Bender, and I don't know where he makes up these names.
I don't know. This is just something there. That's just... But who is the guy who keeps posting about meth in the Nimbusters board?
Oh, been living on Pop-Tarts, Four Loko, and meth?
Yeah.
And then someone says, what's your point, UF? And says, not UF.
Right. So then who is it?
Foster, the admin. Wife and I are going out to dinner now. Hopefully nobody mistakes me for my wife's elderly father. And someone replied, you get the senior discount, and she gets ogled by the waiter.
The waiter slips her phone number.
Mr. is hoping for his archives now. What a Jew bag. I've never listened to Tom Metzger, really.
No, I don't know. I haven't really listened to his show either. But I don't know. Maybe he's just got to, make some money or something.
Well, I think it's just,
maybe
Fixed Room of Time or two and all this, and I listened to that Pastor Bob Jones that's on there, and, you know, he's kind of funny to listen to, but, you know.
Yeah.
Haven't heard any more update on Hal, whether he won his appeal or not.
Yeah, I don't know. It was supposed to be his birthday this week, right?
Yeah, he had a birthday, didn't he? Yeah, I know. He turned 50 in the jail.
Yeah.
I wonder if they made him a cake.
I don't know. Maybe. Now, this is interesting. They're saying that the riot police were used to shut down the Missouri caucus after a failed Santorum takeover. Like, Santorum's people tried to take over the caucus in Missouri.
When was this?
This was today.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Now, it's in Missouri. You know, maybe that's where Pastor Lindstedt is. He's over at the Missouri caucus with his 10,000 warlords and Roxy.
And Roxy. No, and don't forget Poopy Dog.
And Poopy Dog, yes.
Poopy Dog's probably got an office for Poopy Dog. Well, you know, you could equivalent him with Roscoe P. Coltrane off of Dukes of Hazzard. He always had Flash, his dog. Flash. He's going to carry Poopy Dog in the car. I can see a picture of that. A half-bearded sheriff. He always has a beard, or however he does that.
Yeah.
You ever hear him describe that?
Describe who?
Pastor Lindstedt, describe how his appearance, he's half bearded. He has a full beard on one side of his face, and he shaves the other side.
Oh, okay. Ah, I see in the chat room that Martin is on the call, so I'll bring him on. Hold on.
Bring him on.
And here is the future Newton County Sheriff, Pastor Martin Lindstedt. Hello.
Oh, hail victory. Well, not altogether. I don't think I'm going to get selected, but usually I have scared the shit out of them. I got, 666 votes here, or 612 votes, back in 2004 when I ran against Ken Copeland. But, I had one go ahead and run for U.S. Senator, but essentially here in Missouri, the Republicans, the Democrats, and Libertoons have gone ahead and ruled that, quote, white supremacists cannot go ahead and run. So it's not really an open primary. Now, back in 1944, the Jew Pinto
You know, the thing is, Martin, I don't think that you're going to get many votes when you're writing your campaign platform is to finish it off after the Great Tribulation does most of the heavy lifting and killing. I don't think that that's going to get a lot of people on your side.
Well, it all depends on what you want here. I've gone ahead and listened to supposedly, quote, more sane people talking essentially like they have a wishbone about what we're going to do when the Great White Republic gets in here. I was listening to the White Voice here.
Uh-huh.
And I noticed a few things here. Essentially, you end up having Merlins or whatever the hell, one of the Kevin McDonald's clown things and voice of retards. You have Carolyn Yeager. I was trolling Finkelsheeny quite hard, and essentially she knows all about Finkelsheeny being a murderous kike, and she's on voice of retards. And what you end up having is that supposedly the white nationalist movement is really just nothing more than Mamsers and Tards and Jew Boys and Zogmots and nothing but. Now, when I go ahead and run, I will get an average of five to six, anywhere from two or three to as many as 5 or 6% of the vote. Because you got to realize that
you're going to see five or six votes.
5%, I said. Okay.
Yeah, okay. Because I seriously doubt that.
Did
I mean, you can go ahead. You can go ahead and look at the
5% of the vote. You're going to get 5% of the vote on a platform that is about like killing all the politicians.
Probably more this time. Because time.
You promise a bloodbath against the quote Uyghur, Mamzer, and Jew social parasites and regime criminals. I mean, I don't think that's going to get a lot of votes.
Well, that's because you have no idea what you're talking or what you're talking about or what you
are. I'm quoting your website here. I'm quoting what you wrote.
Well, yeah. Well, will you please go ahead and hear me out before you interrupt?
Okay, I've been letting you talk.
All right. I've explained to a number of people.
I'm usually guaranteed
10% of the population. I don't care if it's Jesus Christ or King Arthur running things. 10% of the population is always pissed off about something. Okay?
Right.
And then the question of it is that what I go ahead and what I state, essentially, the vast majority of people, heck, I've even gone ahead and listened to some of my friends talk about what a freaking maniac I was, and that sort of embarrassed them by saying, hey, I went down to get the mail, and I come back, and you guys were talking about what a psycho I was. So then I went up to Ramey's to go ahead and buy some corned beef on sale, and you're still talking about what a fucking psychotic ass clown I was. So I decided to let you guys go ahead and talk. Essentially, there's a lot of people think I'm absolutely freaking, Fruit Loops here.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about it is that generally about everything that I've said has turned out to be correct, and generally everything I've, predicted has turned out to be the case. And nowadays, what you'll end up having is even on MSNBC, you'll have this nigger named Don Brazil talking to this Jew boy, David Gergen, about how the candidate is going to go ahead and keep America from collapsing. And I went ahead and checked out a book called, Armageddon USA or something like that, or After America, by this Jew boy named Mark Stein. And toward the end, I got a little bit pissed off because he was talking about how, for the benefit of Israel, we need to go ahead and take care of Iran or something like that. Essentially, this character is figuring out that none of this shit is sustainable, and it isn't. Essentially, you have, 42 cents out of every dollar being borrowed. Essentially, he's pointed out quite correctly that Bushy left some $400 billion deficits. Now they've gone up to as high 2 years ago as $1.4 trillion, and we're not counting the, quote, quantitative $100 billion a month easing.
Yeah. But people are not disputing the fact that it's really very much in the problem here with the economy and all of the paying for all of this. It is a problem.
Let me go ahead and ask you here. Are 120 million Uyghurs, going to go ahead and blame themselves for letting themselves be ass-fucked by Jews and run around by Mamzers and the rest? The answer is no here.
Right.
As you look at it here, every political problem.
Mamzers, Lindstedt. Nobody's talking about it in terms of Jews and Mamzers. Talking about it in terms. You see now that even Newt Gingrich, of all people, is saying that we should be pulling out of Afghanistan. So, and Ron Paul was the first one to be talking about this. They derided him as a nutcase, and they've really isolated his campaign. What's this guy, the black guy who was the RNC chairman? He was drummed out of the RNC chairmanship because he said that the Afghan war is lost.
Of course it's lost.
Yeah, but
when you end up having, when you end up having on year 10.
He said that more than a year
ago. Okay, of course it's
and
lost.
He was drummed out of it. But nobody's talking about it in terms of like Jews and Mamzers.
That's right. That's why you have to have me. I'm the one who talks about, I'm the one who talks about Jews and Mamzers. I've noticed within the Uyghur nationalist movement here, I mean, essentially, you end up having people go ahead and use quite a few Lindsteadisms here. Now, the word Mamzers has been around for some time.
Nobody.
See, I'm the one who's going ahead and generating the new memes here. You know what I mean?
Okay, it's a memes to an end, I guess.
It's a memes to an end. M-E-M-E-S, right. And, what I do is that, Rabbi Eliar is sort of going around probably going to a NSM or a KKK meeting. They haven't figured out he's a Jew boy yet. But, you know, pretty well old Finkelschi's somewhere. And they have old prune-faced Carolyn Jaeger from Voice of Retards going ahead and yapping about Hitler and all that. So anyway, I logged on a few sock puppets and said that, it's not true that Rabbi Finkelschi killed 6 million Puerto Ricans in the Jersey City jail here, but he at least killed a couple of them. And what happens, I play a game called Cossacks and Jew Boys. You've heard of Cowboys and Indians? Well, I play Cossacks and Jew Boys. So essentially what happens, the little kiklings are behind their little censor wagons. So essentially I go in and I just troll, with a line or so. And then I go ahead and make a screenshot. Of course, Wednesday night is pretty good because Dan Johns, who's gone ahead and, wannabe serial polygamist, had old Steve Elder, Commandor McFag on there. And essentially, Commandor McFag was bitched by Solomon being a big hog for having 1,000 wives. He, Commandor McFag, can go ahead and take care of 200, and maybe he'll settle for as low as 25.
Well, somebody, Guest24 is saying that Carolyn Jaeger is a cougar. I've never seen her face before, but
she's a cougar. I don't, I think she's yearning for Finkelschi Pecker here. But then again, I think wife number 2, 3, and 4 here, they divorced his ass here. I've heard the only one of Finkelschi's kids that can stand him is his eldest son. The rest of the 4 or 5 simply will have absolutely nothing to do with him.
I have heard Carolyn Jaeger on some podcasts, I think on Voice of Reason and some other places, and she's very good. She's actually knows her stuff. And
the thing about it, though, is that she's a liar when it comes down to it. I mean, I went ahead and called December.
How is she a liar?
Well, what she does here is that essentially. I went ahead and called her in December and pointed out, this Pastor Martin Luther Dzerzhinsky Linstead, that the guy you're talking to, Rabbi Bill Fink, went ahead and murdered a Puerto Rican prisoner when he was a guard in the Jersey City jail. And she said, Mr. Linstead, you do not advance your cause by calling in like this. I'm going to have to cut you off. Essentially, what you end up having with Bradley Smith, you have all these other characters, they whine like pussies about Jew censorship, and the first thing they do is they practice censorship themselves here, as if it's oh so good. Censorship is bad when it's practiced by Jews, but it's good when it's practiced by Zogbots and Mamzers and Wiggers. And essentially, Voice of Retards, I think, is run by this character named Mike Connor, who's former name was Cohen or something like that. Voice of Retards and there's Zogball Front. So you have someone like Carolyn Jaeger, and she's pretty well going ass to mouth with Rabbi Finkelschi. And Rabbi Finkelschi is, everybody knows he went ahead as a cowardly pig, went ahead and murdered a Puerto Rican, Puerto Rican prisoner in Jersey City jail. And essentially, if you can't go ahead and admit that you're going ass to mouth with a Jew boy who went ahead and murdered a Puerto Rican in Jersey City jail, then how are you going to go ahead and be taken seriously when you go ahead and say that, no, Hitler didn't go ahead and murder 6 million Jews? And the answer is you're not. I mean, especially you're going to be viewed as another...
Can you repeat that again?
Well, if you can't go ahead and admit that you're going ass to mouth with a Jersey City Jew boy who went ahead and murdered a Puerto Rican prisoner in Jersey City jail, how are you going to go ahead and claim that actually Adolf Hitler didn't kill 6 million Jews? I mean,
Look. All right, so you're saying that he killed a bunch of Puerto Ricans in jail?
Not 6 million of them. How did he kill 6 million? He only killed one of them.
He killed a Puerto Rican guy in jail, and he won't admit to that.
Well, he'll go ahead and whine and scream and holler here when you go ahead and mention it up. That's why I like Carolyn Jaeger. I wanted to give her the benefit of the doubt that no, she didn't know about it. She knew perfectly well about it, so she went ahead and cut me off, censored me, and then went ahead and censored the whole thing out of her show. Well, see, if you're going to go ahead and be a censor. Then wherefore do you get off going ahead and censoring other people? And the answer is that, hey, you're just a liar and a hypocrite. You know, you're just a liar and a hypocrite, supposedly for the Nazis. I mean, what Fink is, he's just a Jew who goes ahead and says, Jew, 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 Jew. It's sort of like Peterless skank here. I mean, essentially, if you end up catching someone out in a lie, and the character lies and lies and lies, I mean, essentially, he's a liar is what he is.
But what proof do you have that Finkelstein is a Jew?
Well, what happens is that Finkelstein, you know, I do know he's a liar. I'm pretty sure he's a Jew. If you go ahead and look.
But you're
well,
pretty
what
used to do,
you
pretty
used to,
sure, but you don't have proof. You don't have proof. You're pretty sure, but you don't have proof.
Well, I mean, you're going ahead. We're having the same discussion I had with you, 6 months ago as to whether or not I can prove that Brian Rio, you know, is a shit-skinned mamzer faggot. I mean, essentially,
I never said that. You know, you're putting words in my mouth now.
Well, maybe I am putting a few paraphrases into your mouth. I'm not sure if I'm
paraphrases.
Putting actual, you know, huh?
This is a lightly story here.
Is Brian Rio white, yes or no? Let's just go ahead and go back 6 months. Is Brian Rio white, yes or no?
I got to ask you something. How many people have you experienced in your activities in being in the Aryan Nations, in your career, let's just put it that way. How many people have been blonde-haired and blue-eyed and white as the snow, the pure driven snow on a Christmas morning, and then turned out to be feds or some sort of other agent? How many?
Well, you know, if you want to go ahead and answer, the blonde, you know, perfectly blonde, blue-eyed people here, especially playing Aryan Nations, is rather few and far between. It's sort of like watching Gangland. It's sort of like watching Gangland and me going ahead and telling Pastor John Britton, I'll give you $1 for every blonde, blue-eyed, quote, Aryan Nation member who had, you know, after, you know, who joined after 1973. And essentially what happens is that, you know, there are none. I mean, the biggest mamzers are critters like Brian Rio who aren't white, like Angle and Cecil Truitt.
So you just said in the Aryan Nations there are no blonde-haired, blue-eyed people.
None that I've really met here, to be honest with you. I mean, what happens is that
let's refine that statement then. How many people in the Aryan Nations would you qualify as white?
Well, I qualify the majority of them as white.
Yeah,
but, you know, okay. Out of that group,
how many of them would be... Or how many people that you've run across that have been white have been agents of one form or another?
Well, Morris Gillette, I met him. Well, I never met him personally, but he is, you know, he is a Zog agent provocateur. August Cross, I don't think, is a Zog agent provocateur. He's just a buffoon here, and now, you know, he's pretty well gotten to another buffoon. Let me see. Ray Redfern, I don't think, was a Zog bot, but essentially went ahead and let one in named David Hall. Rick Spring is running around here, and Angle Mestizo Truitt has essentially claimed to have been ordained by him. I mean, let me see. Oh, Cynthia Keene, she was in the movement news. She was one of the names listed on Jeff Shoup's little spiral notebook that is Mud Shark wife here. Well, she ain't really a Mud Shark. She's a Mud herself here. She had a nigger stepdaughter. And here's Jeff Shoup denying it since January 2008.
Yeah.
I mean,
and Lindstedt, what you're saying is that with all of these people who are white, that you can agree are white, and have been infiltrators of one, or agents of one form or another, then all of a sudden you're harping on some guy who's been doing nothing but preaching the word of your faith, and then all of a sudden you say that he's not white, and you're saying that that's a horrible thing.
Somebody who's white
and then is destroying your intentions and your causes.
The thing about it is that if you have some Jew boy going ahead preaching Jews, 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 like both Rabbi Eli and Finkelstein do, you've got to go ahead and look at what's really going on. Now, in the case of Eli James, you know, he's fairly clever here. Let me see. About 3 weeks ago, I caught him plagiarizing this Worldwide Church of God lone intellectual Herman Hayes Compendium of World History. And essentially, I went ahead and said, "Well, you're plagiarizing Herman Hayes."
But you have to you have to answer that point. The fact of the matter
is, the point of it is
that you are harping on something that is really irrelevant because a person's race. First off, you admit that nobody in Aryan nations is blonde-haired and blue-eyed. So then, okay. Out of the people, you just said it, Lindstedt, and then out of the people who are white, then so many of them are agents and different people who want to destroy your causes.
Exactly.
And your
intentions. And then you get so upset
about some guy who's doing everything to promote your cause, and yet all of a sudden, oh, he's not
promoting the cause. He's trying to go ahead and get more retards, Angle Macedo retards, put in jail. He's not promoting the cause.
Uh-huh.
What I keep on saying is that most of these clowns don't know anything about dual feed line Christian Denny. The one who does know something about dual feed line Christian Denny is Eli James.
Uh-huh.
And I was harping about how I went ahead and essentially caught him plagiarizing a sort of person that 99.99999% of even the ones who are pretending to be Christian Denny didn't know anything about here, and that's why he knew it was me, as opposed to his wandering mamzers of Wikipedia talks to UCI.
Yeah, see, the thing is, Lindstedt, that what you're doing is like you're not really viewing somebody who's a pure of heart, and you're viewing them as a race, and you're not viewing them as being somebody who's of a pure heart.
You're
and
talking
that's
about pure-hearted Jews, right?
You're making a mistake with these people, I think, on
some
level.
I'm making a mistake with pure-hearted Jews?
No, you're making a mistake with, say, like a Brian Rio type. You know, you're saying, oh, Brian
Rio type?
Brian Rio.
Oh, hell yes. He's just a pure-hearted little critter who went ahead.
Just say about Brian Rio's not white. Oh, Brian Rio's not white. Brian Rio's not white. Blah, blah, blah. Do you think that Brian Rio is white? And then that's supposed to be some litmus test on how pure on the beliefs of somebody. He must be some sort of an infiltrator. Blah, 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 blah. You know, come on, man.
Oh, come on now.
Is that?
Oh, hell. I suspect you're being true here. I'm not after some sort of, quote, Jew boy saying purity of heart. Some man for claiming to be a white supremacist when he's a shit's going, you know, when he's just
claiming to be a white supremacist. Come on, man.
Supremacist? Nobody wants to be a white supremacist. If some Jew comes in claims to be dual seed line Christian identity, yeah, I do doubt whether he's dual seed line Christian identity. How is some Jew boy going to come in to a religion which says that he's a literal spawn of Satan and essentially say, well, I am sort of spawn of Satan, but I mean, well. And the answer is that both Eli James and Finkelschini at least know enough to know that freaking dog won't hunt.
Right, right. So
they pretend to be something other than what they are.
Right, but Brian Rio is not a boy. Use your terminology. Excuse my language, but to use your terminology, Brian Rio is not a Jew boy.
Well, he might be. He might be a little Jew boy golem here. He might hear what Cousin Ray, Sicilian Chicken Mariani here, Cousin Ray the lawyer here. But he might be. He probably is part Jew boy here. But I think he's more of a Jew golem here. He's a sort of known little mamzer. He's a known little mamzer here who's doing the work of Jews.
The mamzers.
In any case, my point of what I'm trying to do is pretty well tell Wiggers that there is no. That they're running for sheriff, running for senator, running for whatever, is that there is absolutely no hope. And about the only thing that can be done is essentially wait for the Great Tribulation. And then when the Great Tribulation is pretty well doing most of the heavy, heavy lifting and killing, then what happens is that the actual white people go ahead and aid Jesus Christ when he comes back to make sure that there is a lot of bloodshed and that there is a lot of violence. So that's why I'm going ahead. And essentially, I make fun of the bowel movement because it's nothing but Zogboss, liars, snitches, Jews, Mamzers, and adult-pated wiggers. And essentially, I tell them to stay away from the white nationalist movement and essentially first get in close with Yahweh and take care of themselves and their families. And don't worry about what happens in the District of Corruption. Don't worry what's happening at the state capitol. Heck, don't even worry too much unless you live into the county seat. Essentially, what you do is that you stay away from the white nationalist movement. And when the time comes, you got to know when to go ahead and essentially take over. And here I see in the wonderful bowel movement, under Kevin MacDonald or, William Pierce, the rest of the Pierce Tards, even a little bit with Harold Covington, the notion that they're going to go ahead and build something in an era of absolute social collapse. And essentially, I'm just simply saying is that every problem can be cured by essentially letting a couple hundred million, Uyghurs and Mamzers and ass clowns die.
You are changing the subject tremendously, because what you're really doing is you're not addressing the fact that what you're doing is when you attack these people, you're just attacking them. You're just attacking them on some sort of like idea that you get in your head, or that you get some. I don't know why you're doing that to people who are.
Martin's so mean and so psychotic.
No.
He wasn't too. He wasn't too sad when he went. But no, halfway to the back, he was
really fucked up.
Huh?
I hear that stupid crap, and usually you'll end up having them, even with Edgar Steele, you'll tell Martin he's batshit insane here, I went in and told Pastor John Britton to go ahead and say, well, that's. Insane Nazis may be insane, but you stupid Uyghurs are typical. And essentially, Uyghurs have the notion, and I'll listen to this on White, Voice Now, is that somehow we're going to follow our wonderful constipation, our bill of goods, and somehow we're going to go ahead, and it's not too late if only we go ahead and somehow save ourselves. And what I'm simply saying is that, you've had this situation for 7,000 years. You've had 7,000 years where stupid Adam Uyghur goes ahead and, lets this round-heeled slut Eve, tell him that the little Jew boy is his, and essentially goes ahead and kills his, kills his son. And things are just ever so happy. And, I keep on explaining that the genuine dual-seedline Christian identity minister knows that this shit's been going on for 7,000 years and it's about to come to an head. Mm-hmm. And, in many cases, there is nothing that you can do. And certainly the best thing you can do, unless you want to be another Bill White or Kevin Hartman, is certainly stay away from VNNF here. But, in many cases, there's a good reason that I'm banned from, so many places. And, pretty well the excuse is that I'm an insane ass clown. I'm a maniac. I'm over the top. And
when you were in the nut house, what were you diagnosed with?
Well, the whole supposed reason was for psychotic disorder not otherwise specified. If you go ahead and look at it, it's six tenths of a page on the DSM-IV, and what it boils down to is that the character's nuts because he says nuts. He ain't, he isn't schizoid or schizoaffective. He's not bipolar or, like they used to say, maniac, catatonic. He's not this. He's not that. Essentially, he is. He's nuts because we say he's nuts.
He's some sort of a batshit crazy that we haven't yet identified yet. That's basically it.
Well, yes, but then again, when you go ahead and look at it, before 1972, Anita Bryant, notwithstanding, homosexuality used to be diagnosed as a mental illness.
Are you
now,
telling us you're
you
gay?
Go ahead, now you go ahead and talk to
are
a Jew.
Are you telling us you're gay, Pastor Lynn said? Are you coming out of the closet right now?
Are you telling us you're gay?
What closet's that? Oh, you mean I'm not saying I'm a faggot? No, I'm not a faggot. Anyway.
What kind of therapy did you get in the nut house?
Therapy is that essentially this digger bitch, Alicia Thompson, went ahead and decided after, 3-4 months to go ahead and put me on Risperidol, which is not the treatment for psychotic disorder not otherwise specified.
Yeah, well, what kind of treatment would they give for psychotic disorder non-specified? I mean, they can't give you medicine because they don't know what you got. So how could they give you medicine?
That's what I tried to tell the nigger bitch. I called her a Negro witch doctor, and she said I called her a nigger. You know, it wasn't exactly that way, but essentially that's exactly what I thought of her as such here. And I was given a choice. I was given a needle of what's called 10 and 5 here. You know, 10 milligrams Haldol and 5 milligrams Ativan. Let me just tell you, it will crank out a horse here. I mean, I was sort of drooling for about a day and a half here. I didn't feel like doing anything. So After having about 14 of these nuts pile on top of me here and then shoot me in the ass with 10 to 5, I decided it'd probably be better to go ahead and take the 2 milligrams of Risperidol.
Mm. Okay? And how did that make you feel?
Most of the time, to be honest with you, other than the first time here when these niggers here raided my guts here were essentially making me, swallow it. Usually I'd go ahead and I'd sort of mouth it here and then I'd spit it out as soon as I can. You know what I mean?
Essentially,
what happens is it gives me a headache here and make me feel a little bit spaced out here a little bit. Yeah. But on the other hand, essentially all it was is 2 milligrams twice a day is hardly anything.
Yeah.
Basically, the whole fucking reason was these two nigger psychiatrists were determined to keep me at bigs during the whole of the Matt Blunt inauguration here. It cost, a minimum of $150,000, but they looked at it, Republican Party looked at it as a good deal. So essentially, it was just nothing more than an excuse to keep me up there. I wanted to defend myself and therefore would have to face my slightly retarded grandson. He might say, well, no, I didn't, you didn't kiss my pee-pee, Papa. Essentially, there would go the little case here.
Right.
Right now in Southwest Missouri, back in November 2007, two characters supposedly raped and murdered a little 7-year-old girl in Stella. And what happens has been messed up because it's on the line of Newton County, McDonald County, and Berry County. Okay? And the FBI got involved. And essentially what's ended up happening is that the most arrogant of the characters here is essentially he's going with something that's going to go ahead and pretty well screw him up. He's taking altogether responsibility for doing the raping and murdering, whereas the stepfather named Spears or something here, he's saying that he didn't do it. And pretty well Newton County had to control Spears. Essentially, the pieces of shit there, I think, pretty well tortured or coerced Spears into making a bogus confession. This guy, Collins, is going ahead and claiming that he's the one who actually, he's the one who actually went ahead and raped and murdered the girl, and the stepfather, his buddy, didn't know anything about it. And pretty well from what I gather, they're probably going a little bit nutsoid in Newton County. It's probably that difference which went ahead and made sure that it took 4.5 years for this thing ever to get to trial. And there's just so much prosecutorial misconduct in all these trials that, essentially it's not even funny. Now, as I look at it, I hope he gets life here because, some murderous rapist pervert here who don't mind going ahead and, killing small children, raping and killing small children, I like to go ahead and unleash that character on these regime criminals and their spawn because I hate them. I mean, it's like this here. Do you really think, you know, can you name a single mighty evil empire that has ever survived to the present time? And this mighty evil empire is not going to be any different. And these clowns are running around, you know, like chickens with their heads cut off about trying to save America. You know, and then, you know, I'm reading this After America here, and I like to tell, you know, essentially I think the guy's a Jew boy. You know, he's whining like a pussy about Iran here, and now they're talking about essentially they got their ass whooped in Afghanistan, so you're gonna go ahead and whoop on some ragheads who are technically proficient and who are three times the size and who are, quote, developing nuclear weapons. You're going to fuck with them after you got your ass whooped by the Iraqis and the Afghanistanis, right? You know, who essentially are able to go ahead and
now America did not get ass whooped by the Iraqis or the Afghanistanis. First off, Iraq is not. We did not get our ass kicked by Iraq. Number one, and number two, Afghanistan. As far as Afghanistan is concerned, that place, that's a shithole. You know, really, our boys are not being allowed to do what they should be able to do.
I got a question here. Other than maybe the getting your pecker wet here, you know, like in Stella here. I mean, what's the dang difference between what happened in Stella and what happened in Afghanistan a couple of days ago that they're all bitching about?
In Stella, what do you mean?
Well, I mean, essentially, what happens is that one of our wonderful boys in blue here went ahead and killed 16 Afghan civilians here.
News guy?
Yes, yes.
I was reading Facebook while you were all talking here, and let me find this article here if I pull it up.
Okay.
MSNBC is kind of starting to do an expose on him and his family.
Uh huh.
That him and his family were facing lots of financial problems and stuff.
Who was facing financial problems?
That sergeant.
The Afghan sniper went ahead and went supposedly nutsoid. You know,
yeah.
I mean, you know, and went ahead and killed 16 civilians. And essentially, the Taliban has broken off, quote, peace treaties. Essentially, they're not going to go ahead and even give Zog, you know, the face-saving option that the North Vietnamese did in Hanoi in 1972. Essentially, when they went ahead and went a peace treaty in 72, essentially what boiled down to is we're going to go ahead and wait probably till Nixon is out of power or something like that. Then we're going to go ahead and whip South Vietnamese ass. And essentially, whoever Richard Nixon's successor is, you know, ain't going to fuck with it. Well, what happens is that about a couple months after Gerald Ford became president, essentially, they went about a year or so early, and pretty well after 3 weeks, there was no more South Vietnam. Essentially, the same thing is going to, you know, I mean, you know, what happens is that, you know, go ahead, and thanks to Kindle, I've been able to go ahead and check out electronic books from the library. Essentially, you know, we don't have the money to fight in Afghanistan, we don't have the money to fight in Iraq. In Iraq, what happens is that what kicked us out is that essentially there was not going to be any sign of, you know, what's called status of forces overseas or a SOFA agreement. And essentially what happens is that as a result of this, of this guy here who's been, you know, Zogbot headed away here, there's not going to be any such signature with Afghanistan. And pretty well, we're going to be out on our ass pretty soon in Afghanistan. Not that we weren't heading out now. We're talking about
the current administration has already put a lot of effort into leaving Afghanistan by 2014.
That's right. I think it's going to
even before all of this stuff started.
I think it's going to go ahead and occur.
Before all of this stuff started to happen, after all of these timetables were set into place that all of this craziness started to happen.
Well, I think it's entirely possible. Since they were going to go ahead and leave anyway, essentially all we've got now is just a quick kick in the ass to go ahead and leave quicker. Can you imagine we're pulling that, we're going to pull out of Afghanistan anyway. Let's say we end up having a war with Iran. Does anybody think we're going to have time and interest and effort to go ahead and continue our war with Afghanistan when we're fighting a war with Iran?
The thing is that even before all of this stuff was happening, the timetable was set into place before all of this stuff was happened, it fell apart. And because the consensus within the military was that we have to turn it over, and that has always been the plan, to turn over administration to the Afghan people. Karzai is a strident Afghan nationalist. He always has been for his people, and that has always been a problem with the government in the United States. This is something that has been going on for a long time. The military is overstretched and overworked in Afghanistan, and the military people, the top brass, know that this is going on, and that's why they've been setting this timetable. And then all of a sudden, all this other stuff has been coming out, and it's very unfortunate. But, it's not that the United States is going to be sent out with its tail between its legs like this, like you're trying to push right. This is some sort of leftist communist crap that you're pushing.
I'm old enough to remember, Richard Nixon making a speech in 1972 about Vietnamization here. You know what
I mean?
It's the same speech that Bush, W made about Iraqification. And it's the same freaking speech that Obama was making about Afghanification, Vietnamization.
Obama has never made any kind of speech about Afghanification. Come on now.
Well, that's right. Here,
Afghanification.
He got you going ahead and already filled in the coloring book lines here.
No, you're making shit up off the top of your head. That's what you're doing.
I'm just simply saying this same shit that happened in Vietnam, and in Iraq is going to happen in Afghanistan. Essentially, this, the current little wannabe war they're having with Iran.
Any war with Iran. Listen, Netanyahu came out like 2 weeks ago and said that the timetable for a war with Iran is not months but years. And then Mehr Dagan came on it's last Sunday and came, and he's the former head of the Mossad. He came out in public on 60 Minutes last Sunday and said all of these things, saying that we should not be going to war with Iran. There's a very very strong consensus that this should not be going on, and it's not going to happen. Unless some rogue element within one government or another decides to do something crazy. Unless you've got some sort of like I said, some sort of rogue element within one government or another, then it's not going to happen.
Well, Jerry, I guess you have a different
a rogue shemale cadre. You never know.
The thing about it is that generally you view the government as being good and kind here. I view the entire Zog
government. That's ridiculous for you to say that I think that the government is good and kind.
Huh?
That's ridiculous for you to say that.
No, I mean, you're like all these characters in the white national movement. I've listened to this sort of thing. Talk about a white republic. And essentially, I keep on asking, how are you going to go ahead and get there from here? And the answer is that, I believe that, yes, there's going to be a, quote, a number. I believe there's going to be a number of, quote, warlord sees here when essentially 90% of the Uyghur population and all the nigger and Jew and Mamzer population are dead. I believe that, yes, there might very well be a number of, quote, white republics or whatever they want to call them here. But the reality will be essentially a whole bunch of sick, dying, scared people here looking for order. And you're not going to go ahead and have any unity. You're not going to go ahead and have any collapse here. So essentially what I'm going ahead as a person is essentially being sort of like a nemesis and saying, well, hey, hey, Uyghur, hey, pig, I mean, essentially, you fucked me over. You destroyed my family. I have nothing but hatred and contempt for you. And essentially, I'm one of the little civilization busters who's waiting his time, sort of patiently, essentially waiting his time to go ahead and make sure that whatever you do, you're going to be sent screaming to hell, you and the rest of your family. And yeah. and the thing about it is that there are more and more disaffected people with far more reason to, quote, be disaffected. Now, you hear this crap about waking up. Well, I'm not interested in the people who are, you know, who have to go ahead and be woke up here after so many alarms went off. Essentially, what I'm doing is I'm looking for I'm looking for angry, vindictive people who essentially want to go ahead and kill and torture their enemies here. They want some payback. And essentially, I'm essentially talking to them. I'm pretty well saying a few things. And essentially, by going ahead and bringing it into discourse of, well, let's not talk about restructuring this. Let's not talk about reforming that. Let's talk about killing people and taking their property and essentially going ahead and feeling good, torturing the people who have been fucking with you.
Right.
I mean,
so you think that within Dunklin County and a local sheriff's election, there are 5 to 6% of the people who feel exactly that way?
Well, I think there's 5 or 6% of people who vote for me. There are people who vote for me not because they don't know what I stand for. I make it quite clear what I stand for. So if you go ahead and look for the people who go ahead and vote for me, essentially they're people who know exactly what I stand for and like what I'm saying.
Yes, Lloyd.
I've got to take out of here. Pastor Lindstedt, I hope, wish you good luck on your campaign and everything, and maybe you'll win and everything. But this guy's going to try to get hold of Picasso this week. He's going to make you a campaign poster.
Okay. Well, I have one by old Victor Switzer here. He has me in a straight jacket. He has a picture of Poopy Dog, Roxy, Russ Walker, and Helen, and I guess an orange cat with a little yarmulke on it here. It says 10,000 War Dorks. Yeah, right. You know what I mean?
Okay,
that's a hilarious poster.
Okay, Lloyd, I'll see you next week.
All right, man.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yeah, and Sir Polo. He goes ahead and he draws up some cartoons.
That's the Lindsay. Hey, listen, we do have to wrap up, but...
I'll let you wrap up.
But I wanted to say this to you, Pastor Lindsay, because I would love for just the political theater of it, just to, you know, set up a super PAC so that you'd be able to get your message out on the radio, on the television. I could just see it, you know.
Pastor Ben Miller, that's not going to happen here.
I am Pastor Martin Lindstedt, and I approve. I am Pastor Martin Dzinski Lindstedt, and I approve of this message. I think it would be brilliant. I love it, and I think it would be great.
How about 10,000 Warlords Super PAC here, huh?
I like that.
Yeah. Just go ahead looking at these maniacs. What a frio. He's a fucking maniac here. He made that. You know what I mean? There's a story about somebody here who thought this man's dangerous. He means exactly what the hell he's saying. I think they were saying that about Hitler. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This man is dangerous. He means exactly what he's saying. He's not your typical shit-eating politician.
All right.
So,
by the way,
I went ahead and bought Roxy's mother's place here, and I think I'm making it to a dual seed line Christian Identity Seminary. But also, I'm thinking of going ahead and setting up Saint Gustav Adolphus's hospital for Swedish homeopathic medicine here. And generally, I'm going to go ahead and get me a tin bucket and a funnel, to go ahead and do that here. And for Jew boys who are suffering from Crohn's, like Steve Elder and Dan Johns' son, Legal Mamzer, maybe I can go ahead and get some pig shit here, and boil it up here. That ought to kill or cure a bad case of Jew boy ass gaze or Crohn's, I'd love to treat Alex Linder here at the Gustavus Adolf,
Hiram wants to rent a room from you already.
Huh?
Hiram wants to rent a room from you already.
Well, maybe go ahead and send me an email here. We'll work on it. I'll let you go. Hey,
all right. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye. Always is never a dull moment with Pastor Martin Dzinski Lindstedt. So we got to work on setting up the 10,000 Warlord Super PAC. I like the name, and we're going to get his message out there on the radio, right out there on the TV. Maybe we can take over a local Missouri television station, you know, some sort of a local cable operation, and or maybe a radio station, and just play episodes of the Movement Turd over and over and over again for 24 hours. That's an idea. Anyway, this is the News Guy show, and this is the News Guy, and I will be seeing you next week. But until then, you know what? I always wait until the last moment, and then I always never get the stuff already. And let me see here. Audio. Okay, here we go. But, you know, actually, you know, the thing is, well, I don't know. Well, maybe I should talk about it next week. Yeah, maybe I'll talk about it next week because it's getting late. It's almost 2 in the morning over here. So I will, until next week, Shalmst. And Shalmst on Icevico, okay? Bye-bye.
Folks, you always hear right wing and left wing, and we want to tell you, the opposite of right isn't left. The opposite of right is wrong.
I nurse you. Be gone.